much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Howl in Toledo. Have fun out there. Be safe. We're ready to believe.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
This place is terrific. It's a pre-war building built right after the Iraq War. How's that mattress treating you?
I can't sleep like this. I feel like I'm in a coffin.
I slept in a coffin once. It wasn't that bad, except for the body. Get your mind out of the gutter. It was my father.
Anyway, I got a new band here. Kind of techno, I have to warn you about that.
No.
But, they're okay. They're, three-piece. There's an Asian girl and two dudes. And this is called No Remedies. And they're called, The Flavor Blue. But they spell flavor really weird. But check it out. Here it is.
And now,
if you're like me, you like talking to things. Hello, lamp. Hello, pants.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 26th of January.
What's happening?
That is not me.
Bean.
What's happening right now?
That's Bean.
You're doing that.
That's Bean being funny.
Hold
Kevin.
On.
Kevin's checking, though.
God.
Not me.
Damn it.
Not me, sir.
Again,
you're
three
so
days
funny.
In a row. What?
You're so funny. My phone is actually off, Bean. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
So when does that stop? That
it noise. Keeps going forever.
Okay.
Okay.
Never ends.
Excellent.
Hey, I think you owe an explanation to the people who have been listening the last 2 days as to how the mystery was solved.
Well, I don't understand how it happened, but somebody tweeted me, and I think, Allie, you saw it first?
Yeah.
About a bedtime app that they have?
Yeah, it came with the new reboot of the phone, some new app called Bedtime.
And I was like, I've never used that before. I don't know what you're talking about. And then Allie read the tweet, and she said, hey, do you have the bedtime? So I went to it, and I checked, and I indeed did have it.
Mm-hmm. So you had enabled it without remembering it?
Yes.
All right.
But to the best of my knowledge, because remember, we were trying to figure out when I would wake up at 5:35.
Yeah, it was very, very perplexing.
It doesn't make any sense. So, but I'm thinking like 2 or 3 months ago, I had a doctor's appointment that I had to go to, and I had to get up at 5:30 to go to that. It's the only time I could imagine I would have said it, but no, it would have been 5:35 a.m.
I think on that app, though, it has you put in what time you want to go to bed, kind of wind down, and then it actually puts in when you should be waking up.
Okay.
So maybe it thought, okay, if you go to bed around 10-ish.
I don't know why I would have to have an app tell me when to go to bed.
Exactly. I agree 100% with you.
So I don't know how it got set, but that was the issue.
That was it.
Yeah. Shocking.
Well, thanks to the listeners that weighed in. We heard from a bunch of them, by the way, who weighed in with that suggestion, and it turned out that that's what it was.
Who knew?
So, mystery solved.
Right.
Hey, before we get into today's Kevin and Bean Show, because I know we got a lot of good stuff and some very special guests that you're going to be very excited about. Did you see the story about the lady and the 75-year-old woman and her son who survived a tornado in Texas?
Did not.
No.
Well... I'll let the news tell you about it. You know, these tornadoes that happened over the South and the last weekend were real bad. A bunch of people in Mississippi died, people in Georgia died, but they were in Louisiana, they were in Texas, they were in Alabama. And this couple has got an amazing story.
Whether it's just been on television or you've experienced it firsthand, you don't need me to tell you that tornadoes can be both destructive and deadly. You take time to mourn the lives lost. But it can almost be just as therapeutic to celebrate lives saved. And here in the small dot-on-the-map town of Smithland, Texas, they're celebrating a couple of lives saved.
By the way, this guy is really painting a picture here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's taking his opportunity to do the news and really, like, craft his story.
Sure.
He's not just throwing this against the camera, right? He's going
for it. Why do you have to throw shade at the little town? It's a little dot on the map. It's really nothing. You don't even have to think about this town.
That started. In their bathroom.
It set the house back about 5 feet.
Troy Jones says his mother's house isn't what or where it used to be. The foundation is feet off its mark. Her propane tank landed some 75 yards downhill And mom's roof?
I guess the roof is in Louisiana.
Well, haven't seen it?
Haven't seen it.
But Mary could truly care less about a pile of shingles.
Ms. Charlesetta says that she and Ricky were here in the living room when Ricky said, "We've got to get in the bathtub." And they made a quick dash to the bathroom.
By the way, thank you for not hitting the sexy time music there, Kevin, because that's not what's going on here at all.
If I would have thought of it.
When he climbs into the bathtub with his mom. All right, so they're watching TV, and this tornado is a real deal. It's 130 miles an hour. And they're looking, they're watching the channel that's interviewing him right now, Channel 12 in East Texas, and they see that the path of the tornado is coming right toward them. And all these suggestions are given on the TV about what to do, and one of them is get into the bathtub. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did, and that's what ultimately ends up saving their lives.
This is where you have to use your imagination a bit. This is where the bathroom used to sit, the tub right here. She says seconds after getting in, it hit.
I wasn't looking. I was under that quilt.
But under that blanket, the two of them could hear plenty.
And it started getting louder and louder.
Woo, woo, woo.
Whole house just started shaking. She said, "Oh, Lord." I said, "Yeah, here you come."
Tubs are usually a safe bet since they're sunken in and tied into the ground through their plumbing. But the PVC here didn't stand a chance.
It lifted us up.
Next thing you know, I heard like a poof.
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting.
Whoa, whoa.
He heard a poof. The tub separates from the foundation and lifts them into the air. Mom and son are now flying through the air like it's the freaking Wizard of Oz huddled under a quilt in a bathtub.
Oh, my God.
Imagine what that must have felt like and how terrifying that must have been.
But it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you survive it
now
after
that
the fact,
you know they're okay, yeah. But at the time, you just got to be thinking, well, how do I get my head around this?
Yes.
And I knew the roof came off.
Ricky says he remembers the tub lifting straight up and then beginning to spin around and around.
I couldn't even tell you how high we were, but I don't even remember hitting the ground because it felt like somebody just had their hands on it, just placed us on the ground.
Now, this is what's amazing, and you hear stories like this all the time in tornadoes, is that as massive and as total as the destruction is, sometimes you see entire buildings just pulverized, yet sometimes there are objects like glass that get picked up and then set down with no damage whatsoever. It's such a mystery how that is able to happen. So it's not like they came crashing to the ground like the wind passed them and they just fell 100 feet and hit the earth. They were set down as if somebody had their hands around them and just placed them back on the ground.
I'm not mocking them when I say this, but is it possible that they were 3 or 4 feet in the air and not 100?
It just seemed
like it because the roof's gone and everything's flying around.
They said they didn't know how high up they are, and I guess it's possible. I mean, there's no video of the actual tornado hitting their house, so yeah, I guess it's possible.
No.
Days later, the laughs are more frequent, and their faith as strong as ever.
God was watching over her.
But they know the story of flying through a tornado in a bathtub gets more unbelievable every time they tell it.
It happened. It happened. It suddenly did. Well, I'm telling you, I don't want to ride through now another one.
Don't blame you. In Smithland, Texas, Doug Warner, KSLA News 12.
I mean, she's done her time.
She's decided she doesn't need to do it again.
Yeah, she's done.
That's a one-timer right there. So 130-mile-an-hour winds lift you and your mom in your bathtub up into the sky, and you live to tell about it. It's a pretty cool story.
That is pretty cool. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
In this business, you learn far more by listening than speaking. So close that big-ass mouth and open those big-ass ears.
We have Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion in studio today.
Come on with the come on, right?
Very excited about that. Talking about Con Man, the series finale. A season finale, right?
Yes.
Also on today's show, we are going to talk sports with Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. We also check in with Dr. Drew on Thursdays. We're going to take in the 6 o'clock hour surprising things you found out about a coworker. Based on the movie club,
which now you tell us.
Right. So we're going to talk about that.
Does that mean when you come into work in the day and you're wearing your movie club Levi's jacket, you leave it in the car so that we can't see it?
Yeah, I don't really have the jacket.
Uh-huh. You haven't gotten enough points to
right,
get that?
Right, I'm still low on the list. You have to nominate one movie that they accept.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
But I am driving the Vespa. It's out back.
If you good.
Look for it. We have your tickets for the sold-out Kings of Leon show at the Forum, and we've got your tickets for the NHL All-Star Weekend. Oh, come on. Damn it. We're going to do the showbiz. We'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Kings of Leon tickets. You can win this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, NHL All-Star Weekend tickets as well, and more. How about that?
What
more.
A tease.
And wow. More, everybody. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz being on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
She can turn the world on with her smile. Mary Tyler Moore passed away yesterday at the age of 80 years old. I wish more people had used lyrics from her theme song from that TV sitcom in tweets when talking about
her. Well, did that happen a lot?
It was a go-to.
That would have been a better choice for a lot of people. Oh, wait. She passed away in the company of friends and her husband of over 33 years, Dr. Robert Levine. She died from cardiopulmonary arrest because of pneumonia, New York Times is reporting. However, she had been in ill health for many years. She had suffered with type 1 diabetes since she was 33 years old today, and she was the international chairman of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, raised an amazing amount of money for them as she battled that illness her whole life. But most importantly, she was a trailblazer on television for women in comedy specifically. Started off her career playing Dick Van Dyke's wife on his show, and then moved on to one of the greatest sitcoms of all time, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, where she played Mary Richards, winning 5 Emmy Awards for her work. And then, with her husband at the time, Grant Tinker, they went off to produce a spate of amazing TV shows, including The Bob Newhart Show and Rhoda and Lou Grant and a bunch of dramas. She was talented and smart and lovely and charming, and everyone who worked and worked with her and knew her had nothing but great things to say about her. So, sad news as she passes away at the age of 80 years old.
Kevin, you hate all old people and old things, but even you had to appreciate the great Mary Tyler Moore.
I mean, I didn't dislike her, but I didn't really watch those shows.
You never watched the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
No.
Boy, you missed out, man. Some of the best comic writing and acting ever in a sitcom. And at the time, there was Lucy, but Lucy was kind of a clown. Mary Tyler Moore's character, Mary Richards, was the first really sort of complex, relatable, strong, independent woman on American television. It really
with
had been
the job, which was groundbreaking then.
Yeah, had been nothing like it on television before. So, sad news. But she paved the way for a lot of women to come. And initially, she wanted her character to be divorced on that show. And CBS said, no, hey, look, it's bad enough. You have a job.
Don't push it.
We're not going to let you be a divorced woman on American television? Are you out of your mind? So they opted just to make her single instead. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the news. He's got some friends in high places. He popped by the Vatican yesterday to see the Pope. Hey, Pope, what are you doing? You busy? I'm coming by to see you.
Wow.
Doesn't the Pope have other things to do and people to see?
He's usually 3 to 4. He's just relaxing.
I got you.
Yeah.
He just has open office hours.
Yeah.
Kicking back, dipping some wafers in holy water, snacking.
Wow.
What?
No.
That's a papal snack, isn't
it? No.
I would think so.
It is the body of Christ.
It's just wafers. Apparently, Arnie brought along a book about California to give the pontiff.
Oh, I bet he'll enjoy that.
This is what I was governor of. This is it. The state. Read about it. Pope doesn't need a book on California.
He really doesn't. No. California's not on the Pope's radar.
Huellhauser? You don't need to push the California agenda, Arnie.
He's not going to move.
Just go kiss his ring. Say hi. Have a snack and move on. Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Pope. That's a conversation.
No kidding.
Well, they're both Germans, right? Or that was the last one.
I think that was the last one, yeah.
This one was he Venezuelan? Nicaraguan?
I think Venezuelan.
Kraken?
Yeah, something like that.
Sagan. Say it again.
Kraken? You can say that, can't you, Chip? Kraken?
Oh, Chip.
Kraken? Kraken?
You can do it.
Roll those R's, Chip.
Come on.
Chip can't roll her R's.
Kraken?
Kraken?
No.
Try it!
Do this. Do that.
Just do that. It'll help you.
Just do this.
I can't. My tongue is dumb.
Just your tongue?
You did do that.
I got a little Chewbacca.
It's a great noise right there.
It really is. Oh, and Hollywood cannibal Shia LaBeouf arrested by cops last night in Queens, New York, after he got into a scuffle at his art installation.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Police say he was performing in his He Will Not Divide Us live stream protest when someone interrupted it, and Shia allegedly punched him out. So, arrested for assault last night in New York. The video of the performance actually shows Shia being handcuffed in the background, if you were watching the video at that time. So you got a little bonus there
for your
live stream action. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Eddie Van Halen, bitches. 62 years old today. Who shreds like Eddie? Come on!
Very few.
We got to get a little Van Halen going this morning. A little Van Halen picked me up. Just some of his solo work, some of his intro work. Beautiful girls!
Right.
Yeah!
One more time.
Come on, Chet.
Just try it one more.
You can do
just
it.
That. Just
I
this.
Can't do it without laughing. Just once.
You can
do it.
Can't
do it, period. There we go.
This is real.
It's real.
TV show host Ellen DeGeneres is 59 years old.
59?
You heard me.
Wow.
What did I say?
59.
Said 59.
Goddamn right I did.
Did not think she was 59.
Robbie Novak, a.k.a. Kid President. Kid President's having his birthday today. YouTube star Kid President is 14. Isn't he teen president now?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess it's got to be. And hockey legend, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, celebrates his 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next hour, by the way, two of our favorite guys are going to be in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Actor Alan Tudyk is going to be joining us along with his friend Nathan Fillion. That's going to be just after 7:15 next hour here on K-Rock. Very excited about that. You know, everybody lives more than one life. You know, you are the person that people at work know you from. You're the person around your family. Maybe you're a different person when you go out with your friends drinking. You're a different person when you're, you know, back home visiting your parents. I mean, we all have a lot of sides to us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we are surprised to find out something about, in this case, a coworker that we didn't know. I mean, you would think, Ali, you've been on the show for a couple of years now. Me a little longer.
Right.
You would think that we mostly know what's going on in Kevin's house, right?
Absolutely. And you would know everything.
I would think
you
most.
Think.
I would think at this point it would be. I wouldn't expect to be surprised very often by something that Kevin is doing on his off hours.
You don't know me, man.
Apparently I don't.
Apparently I know me.
Apparently I don't know you. And a couple of days ago, Ralph was talking about the movies that were nominated for Oscars this year. We were all talking about how many we've seen and how popular the show will be based on, you know, how familiar the public is with these movies when they come out. And Kevin, he just dropped a bomb on us, man.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
It was. It was. And you can tell, because we have the tape here, you can tell in our reaction how surprised we were to find out something about the monkey that we never heard before.
Here's the thing, though. I am a part of a movie club, and they do choose the movie on.
I didn't know that was a movie club.
So I have seen some of them.
I didn't realize there was a movie club. Do you guys have jackets? We're the cinema sinners.
I didn't realize you were in a movie club either, by the way.
No one did. Are you serious?
I am. Run them by me.
Why can't people just go to the movies?
Why does it have to be a club?
Why does it have to be a club?
This is the weirdest news ever.
Isn't it the weirdest news ever?
It is.
Yes.
It's bizarre.
It's just friends come over and watch a movie. It's not.
No, right, you didn't phrase it like that.
I said movie club.
Because it is.
Okay. And is there a jacket?
Are there Vespas? Are there meetings? Bobby, is there a membership?
There are meetings. So, we found that out yesterday as well, that there are meetings.
Yes, and we're going to hear that tape in a moment. So we were all stunned to find out that operating behind our backs, yet right under our nose, was Kevin and his movie club.
Just because I'm more evolved than you guys.
Oh, right.
Don't let that make you feel bad about yourself.
Okay.
That's good advice. So we thought it might be fun this morning to open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. What's the surprising thing? Now, are we doing coworkers? Is that what we decided?
I think so.
What's the surprising thing? Somebody that you work with every day, and then you ran into them outside of work and found out something shocking about them, or somehow it was revealed to you that they were doing something you didn't know about, or even they just came out and mentioned it casually in conversation like Kevin did, not expecting that it was going to stop the world on its axis. What did you find out about a coworker that surprised you, like in a million years you never would have expected it? I'll tell you one thing, Kevin, and I know you're ahead of me thinking about this. What about our guy Jeff, who used to work here in IT?
Oh, yeah.
How shocked were we the day we found out that this, you know, guy in his 50s who was very conservative, he appeared to be, and very buttoned up, and he was the computer geek, the guy who would come in to help you reset your password. And then one day we found out that he was tatted from his neck down. He was the illustrated man.
And had 714 confirmed kills.
Well, I don't know about that. But he was all tattoos, and you never would have known it. In a million years, he would have been the last guy out of a lineup of 100 that you would have picked. That would have been from the neck down, completely inked. So that's what we're talking about. You found out something shocking to you about a coworker. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Now, what's this next piece of tape?
Well, apparently, when our movie club was meeting, their K-Rock microphones were there.
Oh, really?
And we were discussing which movies to watch and not watch, and I had mentioned in passing yesterday that one of the people in our club had won an Oscar before, so he has screeners, and then I really don't get to pick much. So, but the K-Rock microphones were there for one of the meetings.
Okay, I'm calling this meeting of the movie club to order. All you cinema sinners, sit down, okay? Everybody, please, can I have your attention? It's time for us. Where's our Oscar winner? We have an Oscar winner in our group. Where is he?
Ooh, I'm right here. Sorry I'm late. Ooh.
That's okay. Just sit down. Have some punch. Okay. Here's what we need to do. We need to first pick the next movie we're going to go see at the Cinema Sinners. We're going to get on our Vespa scooters, and we're going to drive down to the Arclight, and they won't know what to hit them when we roll up on them. So what's the next movie we're going to see?
Ooh. I'd like to see Moonlight. Hearing great things.
Okay, that's one vote for Moonlight.
I have a suggestion of film movies that we should go and we should see it.
Okay, Kevin, what is it? What's your suggestion?
Monster Trucks, right? Monster Trucks. It looks so amazing. There's a monster inside the truck, and the guy who's driving the truck has a monster in his truck.
Okay, that's one vote for Monster Trucks. Anyone else?
I think we should see Lion.
Yes, I've heard wonderful things about that. Anyone else?
I'm the suggestion. I would like to see Monster Trucks.
Yes, Kevin, we heard you already. Anyone else? Anyone else from the floor have a suggestion of our next film for our Cinema Sinners Movie Club?
I'd like to see Monster Trucks.
Someone shut him up! Okay, I think it's between Moonlight and Lion. Those are their choices of the Oscar-nominated films for us to go see with Cinema Sinners. Let's get on our Vespas. Anyone else have any suggestions before we go?
I would like to see a sky full of 12 fireballs.
It's not even a real movie!
Oh, where did you find this guy? Ooh.
Okay, let's get on our Vespas, everybody! Cinema Sinners, ho!
Yeah, that's how the movie club went, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Anthony real quick at 1-800-520-1067. He's online, too. He's in Santa Monica. He's going to get us started. What shocking thing did you find out about a coworker you thought you knew? Anthony, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, I work with this guy who is a complete, he's mean.
He's mean, okay.
Nobody talks to him. Nobody can say good morning to him. He won't say good morning to anyone. He won't have more than a, hey, how you doing conversation.
And most of the time when you have somebody that's working there like that, you learn quickly just to not engage, right?
Yeah, he's very standoffish. Mm-hmm. Nobody really talks to him.
All right.
Total accident last week, actually. He had left his phone open when he went to the restroom. I saw on his phone that it was some kind of Facebook link to some kind of food. He gives food to the homeless. He runs a program out of his house that gives people in need food.
Whoa.
Did you double check it and go, "This? Am I sure it's his phone? Am I sure it's a charity for homeless people?"
Right, but you have to see it in my eyes. In my eyes, this guy's a complete tool.
Right. No, I hear you.
And so I'm confused, and then I actually did, like, kind of ask him about it, and he said, yeah, but he doesn't do it for recognition, and that's why he doesn't tell anybody at our job.
So he only likes people he doesn't know, it sounds like.
Yeah, we know someone like that.
Okay, that makes all kind of sense.
I can totally respect that.
Or he just doesn't like Anthony.
That could be it. Everybody else is fine.
I mean,
that's always a possibility.
Right now, you know, he may be the next call going, I work with this guy named Anthony. He's such a dick. All right, dude. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Now, Joe, you hang on, and Jose and Barry and then the other Jose, we'll get to all your calls and yours as well next right after this on K-Rock. Kevin shocked the world a few days ago by revealing that he is in a movie club. You could have told me that you raised buffalo, and I would have been less surprised by this one, Kevin.
How dare you?
We're taking
I
your
have
calls.
Friends. At least you know I have friends and I do stuff.
Right, but it's a club.
Right.
You're in a club.
Yeah, sort of.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You found out something about your coworker that surprised you. You thought you knew them, but you didn't. Let's take our first Jose. He's on line one. He's in Pomona. He's going to get us going in this segment, please.
Hey, Jose.
Hey, good morning.
You were surprised by a coworker. What happened?
Well, you know, I've been working with this guy for almost a year, and came to notice that he was a little bit like the quiet type and everything. I was just wondering, like, oh, okay, we just started talking, and little by little, I started realizing, like, there's something wrong with this guy. Like, because, you know, he's cool and all, but it was just weird. And then suddenly, we started talking about families and this and that, and then he told me that, oh, no, he's not married, he doesn't have a kid. And I was wondering, like, why? What's going on? And he just told me that, you know, he says, had never been with someone. And that was kind of weird. And
how old was he?
He's 30 years old.
So you worked with a 30-year-old that was a virgin?
Yes. And I was asking him, how is that possible? And he told me, I guess he's a Mormon. And Mormons, they don't have any kind of relationship until they get married.
I think there are still a lot of people like that. A lot of people who wait until they get married. But 30,
most of those people don't wait until they're 30 to get married, though.
Yeah, yeah. 30 is unusual.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird. Like, you're 30 years old. You're like the little brother of the 40-year-old virgin guy. Like, what the heck is going on here?
Well, you sound like the kind of guy who probably tried to make him feel bad about it, right, Jose?
Well, no, I actually tried to make him feel good. I took him to Hooters for the first time.
There you go.
Fun.
All right. Well, that's dipping his toe into the water. That's a good start. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go the opposite direction and go to Redlands Line 5. This is David. He had a guy he worked with, and he found out something surprising as well.
Hey, David.
Hey, man, what's going on, party people?
Yeah, tell us.
I worked with this guy in a very professional office environment, and he's about 5'9", 250 pounds, you know, just chewed bubble gum, not really attractive, doesn't take care of himself. He's married. His wife is much younger. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking one day as he came in all disheveled, and I said, hey, what's going on, man? What happened? He goes, I was at the swinger club. It's like, what?
What?
Yeah. He says, my wife's into women, and I am too. So we go to the swinger club, and we're swingers. And I said, dude, it's impossible. I pulled out and showed pictures. He has pictures of all these women that he's been with his wife. And it's like, there's no way. There's no way this is happening. And he's now called the king.
The king.
Well, sure, yeah.
The king of swing.
The king of swing. The king of swing.
So you would have guessed that this guy was lucky to get a woman, much less all the women.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, I like that virgin story. This dude would have been – he's 48 years old. I mean, I never thought that he was around a woman. And then when he comes with this story and pictures and videos and all that, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
That is unbelievable. All right, sir, thank you for the call. By the way, Ken writes in, I once found out that the hot Asian chick I shared an office with was a stripper on the weekends in Vegas. I also was at another company. I found out my coworker was one of those girls who satisfies fetishes off of ads on Craigslist for money, and she was also a Wiccan. How's that for a surprising conversation to have? Thank you, Ken, for that. All right, let's try, you want to go to Barry Riverside Line 6? Well, we're all having fun about the surprises that your coworkers drop on you. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, party people.
It's about to get serious. Go ahead.
Hey, I worked with this guy, Emery, for about 5 years in a production plant, and he was married, and I had a girlfriend, and we all just hang out, his house, barbecues, and our house.
gone out.
Right, so you know him.
Thought we knew him pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on our days off, and I came back to work, and everybody was like, hey, did you hear about Emery? And there was a lot of rumors he was in a movie club.
But it turned out to be something not as bad, right?
Right. But anyway, he decided he was hurting for money, and he flew back to St. Louis one night and went to his parents' house, brutally beat and stabbed, killed both his mom and his dad.
Oh my God!
Then he went on to find he had two brothers and a sister. Found one of the brothers, shot the brother, killed him. Found another brother, and another brutal stabbing, shooting. So he killed the parents, the two brothers, and he was looking for the sister, and fortunately wasn't it, you know, for her.
And this is a guy that you had double dated with and been to each other's homes and cooked out.
Exactly. And, he flew just, you know, not even an alias or anything. Flew to St. Louis.
Wow.
Killed everybody, flew back home like there was nothing. And
Now let me ask you this, Barry, because, you know, our confidence in our ability to understand our you know, people in our lives has been shaken by what Kevin revealed. How about you? Are you now wondering how you couldn't have seen something like that?
You know, all the talk about movies and their stuffed animals, I should have seen it. I should have known. Should have been able to get somebody some warning.
All right. Well, thank you, I guess.
I think all of us now, everybody listening is going to go into work or school today, and they're just going to be giving everybody the side eye, like, oh, which one of the people in my life is going to end up being this dude? Thanks for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Alan Trudyk and Nathan Fillion are here, Ralph?
They are here, and they seem to be in good spirits.
Are they manly and attractive?
Easy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
For God's sakes. With you.
Take it easy.
Do you have to make macho. Every guest creeped out?
Very macho men, that's what I'm saying. They're manly men is what they are.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
All right. Well, they'll be joining us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
They hardly seem macho to me.
At all.
Really?
Neither of them are macho.
I see him as being...
Nope.
Well, I think manly.
Like funny, charming,
right,
talented.
Right, yes, yes.
But yeah. I would lean nerdy and geeky before I would go macho.
I'll take back macho and stick with manly. I think they're manly. They're manly men. No?
Allie says no.
Like, manly to me just, it's not a great connotation. Like, that's just
it's not a positive.
Like,
really?
He's so manly.
I thought manly was what you ladies like.
I think you guys are having a problem in translation. Allie's thinking, lumberjack.
Yes.
Are they lumberjacks?
Neither
they're
of
not
them
lumberjacks.
Are climbing
okay,
trees.
They're not lumberjacks.
No.
Okay.
No, they exude a manhood, but not a manliness.
All right. Well,
they're charismatic. How about if we just go with that?
Too fine a distinction for me.
They're packing. I know that.
Yeah.
Right? That much we all know.
Ralph checks.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before the segment.
Right. I do a little Trump check, I call it, at the front. I can grab it because I'm a star and they let me, okay?
Sure.
Whenever the guests show up, I take a few Tic Tacs, and I have to have the Tic Tacs because I don't know whether I'm going to kiss them or not. I don't know.
Oh,
and you can grab them, and they let you because it's radio. It's unbelievable. Radio is unbelievable.
Fair enough. All right. Well, they'll be whatever they are. They're here, and they're next on K-Rock. First, though, here's Ralph at the show.
Speaking of our beloved leader. What are we calling him now? What's he insisting on being called now?
I don't know. Is the national
beloved leader?
What was the inauguration day? He declared that it was a national
day of
patriotic.
Patriotism.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. He's our dear leader.
You know, the dear leader has said that U.S. scientists can no longer make contact with us, the regular people.
Correct.
Doesn't want any of that science stuff leaking out of the government.
They got to run it
yesterday?
By the PR department.
They shut down they shut down the science. They don't want any science leaking out. Because you don't want science.
I swear to God, every day isn't possible. And every day it happens.
Yes.
It is.
It's insanity.
And this is like day five?
Right.
So now...
No science.
The scientists are going to get together.
Okay.
And do their own march. March for Science in March.
Should we just schedule every group?
Which they're claiming will be the geekiest march in history. Self-described. But apparently Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson are on board, so I think we need to talk to one of those.
That's pretty strong,
right?
That's a great idea. I'm in.
If those two guys leading the march, I think we'd all have to get out there.
Agreed.
Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson be like the Federation of Starfleet or something. It's like just like all nerds would just come together in one glorious moment.
Who belongs more in a science march than me, right?
Oh, yes, sure. Kevin. Right. I've often said you're the scientist of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Ralph, is it under that same policy that the Park Service has got all shot yes. down from yeah. tweeting out to?
Right, yeah.
So they're going to march too?
No.
Oh.
No. I don't believe the park rangers have any plan to march.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Right.
Would.
Little imagine. Yogi Bear out there. Or not He's Yogi. The... Smokey Bear.
Yogi Bear's the enemy of the park rangers. Because he's always trying to steal picnic baskets. And Ranger Smith was against
right.
Yogi,
right.
trying to stop
right.
him.
Gentle Ben.
Yogi, what are you
Someone.
Doing?
Someone. There's
hey,
a
boo-boo. Hey, picnic basket. Hey, it's Ranger Smith, boo-boo.
See.
You don't know, man.
I heard the jury's still out on science.
Right.
Right.
All right, let's talk about things sadder, shall we? Mary Tyler Moore passed away yesterday in Connecticut. I don't think, really, in this case, we don't need the tuba of death.
Look, Bean uses it for all death.
I know,
I'm sad,
and that's the only thing that helps me defend it. Is he doesn't think about whether he's sad or not. He just plays it
I'm
for everyone.
I'm super sad about Mary. I loved her my whole life.
Well,
then really,
can't
sad.
You show a little restraint, just a little?
He never
decency,
does.
Just.
I'd rather he did it this way. I would, because then he's picking and choosing who to play it for.
But doesn't it just smack of like the worst kind of morning zoo radio?
I'm not a fan of
a beloved icon, and you like bells and whistles and stuff.
I'm not a fan of the death tuba, but I don't have my fingers on him.
You make it so hard to pay tribute to a woman who was an icon and a legend and a trailblazer and really set the standard for women in comedy and television that I don't know if it's ever going to be passed. That bar is set pretty high. But she not only was brilliant on the Dick Van Dyke Show, initially playing Dick Van Dyke's wife on that show, then went on to another one of the great sitcoms of all time, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. And then, along with her husband at the time, Grant Tinker, became one of the great TV producers in history. She went on to great acclaim as a dramatic actress, working with Robert Redford in the movie Ordinary People. If you've ever seen her performance in that, you can't believe it's the same lady. It's so so amazing. And tonight, apparently, CBS will honor her with a primetime special. Gail King will anchor a show called Mary Tyler Moore, Love Is All Around, that's set to air at 9 o'clock. And there's going to be a bunch of interviews. I mean, she was on CBS for many years. And so they've got a ton of our videotape in the archives, interviews, things like that. So you can check that out tonight if you want to. Also on television tonight, you want to check out Riverdale.
Being so excited.
I'm so excited. Been counting down the days for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to like it, Bean.
Oh,
because
no.
It really has very little to do with your, I always liked reading the Archie comics.
He was telling his
favorite comic.
You nerd, you should get a swirly and you should also get a wedgie for being the guy who read the Archie comics. In my comics crew.
Oh, no.
If you were the Archie guy,
oh dear,
you'd get slapped down.
You got beat up by the Star
right.
Trek guy?
No, you get beat up by the DC or Marvel guy.
I see, okay.
Right. If you're the Archie guy, you might as well read Little Lulu. You might as well read, why don't you be Spooky and Richie Rich? Why don't you break
First
out
of all,
the Harvey comics while you're
I
at
loved
it.
The Harvey comics.
Oh
I loved
my
Little
God.
Lulu. And I loved Richie Rich. I loved them both.
Bean was very confused and very concerned yesterday about how all of the characters were going to be treated on this show, Ralph.
Well, because
there's
like
murder
CW and up.
Death
oh,
and
sex,
no.
by the way, for
Lesbian
the first time
sex,
ever.
Sex and, yeah, it's not your dad's Archie comics.
I think
His
Archie is doing it with Miss Grundy, the teacher. I think that that's one of the forbidden romances that we're going to see on Riverdale.
And are you going to be outraged?
I am. I'm already outraged.
Is he a high schooler doing
yes.
it with the teacher? Wow.
And he's doing it with his high school teacher, Miss Grundy.
I'm in.
Unacceptable.
And then
now I'm finally interested.
I think Moose murders Ethel and drowns her or something.
Well, I don't know
it's
if
like,
that happens.
It happens. It's like
wow.
Twin Peaks. And Betty and Veronica totally just les out for each other. It's nuts what's going
well,
on there.
I'm telling you, I am going to be sitting in front of my TV writing a strongly worded letter as each scene unfolds because I will not have them besmirch the great Archie Andrews.
Mm. Good luck with that.
Why did you bring it up? What are you saying about Riverdale?
It's premiering
news?
Tonight. It was
not
talking about
oh, yeah.
television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, take it easy. Not everyone knows.
Yeah. It's a programming note.
I thought there was something else.
I was talking about the special about Mary Tyler Moore on CBS, and tonight the CW is the premiere of Riverdale.
All right.
Yeah.
And part three
of
the new edition miniseries on BET. Don't forget that, too.
I did forget that.
Dear Lord,
I intend to forget that.
They've been talking about that every minute off the air. It's magic. They told
it's
me
a sensation. Okay. That's why
Bean tonight with his little Lulu comics on one side, his BET on the other,
Fingers of Fire on the keyboard,
his pants down for Riverdale.
Oh no! And don't forget it's TGIT.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's Return of TGIT.
Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder is back.
Yeah. My movie club isn't looking so bad, is it now?
I'm gonna try to sneak into the trunk of the car that Nathan Fillion announced that it came in. And maybe I can get over the wall because I can't bear it. I can bear it no longer. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kid President. YouTube star Robbie Novak is 14 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres. TV show, talk show host, of course, extraordinaire. She is 59. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, turns 56. And speaking of great, legendary guitarist for the band Van Halen, Edward Van Halen.
Come on.
That's pretty strong.
Who can do that with their hands?
Eddie Van Halen?
He's using his hands there.
Yeah. Right.
It's a guitar.
How else do you
nuts.
Play a guitar?
I don't know, okay. But it seems unearthly what he can do. 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, tell me the truth. You spent a little extra time on the hair this morning when you knew the boys were coming in.
Have you seen it?
I mean, you look good.
I set the alarm a little early because when people come in studio, I try not to look like what you're seeing now. I just kept pressing snooze. I was like, if I don't do my hair for Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion, who do I do it for?
That's what I was wondering. How big a star do you have to be to get you up on time to do your hair?
The answer
is no one.
I did my hair for Nathan.
I did.
Absolutely.
Your hair looks pretty easy to do, though, if you don't mind my saying.
Well, you know, it looks easy, okay. But that's how much work I have to put into it.
See, that does not happen by accident.
Mission accomplished. Well, welcome, boys. Great to see both of you back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Really great. Yeah, and this is surprising for this early in the morning. We were just... Yeah. I'm not going to complain because everybody here in the room gets up very, very early. Isn't that right? And everybody listening to this, too.
Right, but you're allowed to say getting up early sucks.
It's not great.
Right. Now, last time I saw you, Nathan, it was at Comic-Con, and we were at Nerd HQ, where you do 900 panels in one weekend.
Yeah, we do a bunch of panels, yeah.
And you were giving away, a wallet that was signed by your mom and a coin.
Alan and I
have a hard time remembering exactly what it was.
Nerd HQ, they benefit Operation Smile. They do a lot of good work for Operation Smile every year. And Alan and I will kind of go through our closets and our junk drawers and just start filling them up a bag.
The
and
stuff
sign
you guys out. Pull out is absurd.
That is
people
fun.
Love it.
That's really fun because you'll be like, and this is a beer nap from last night. This is half of the girl's name. I don't know what happened. I don't really remember it too well.
And this is a Tide stain stick. It was in the bottom of my pocket.
And someone in the crowd will go, $50.
Exactly.
Yep. What?
Yeah, exactly.
But then Fillion starts pulling out watches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's nonsense, some of the stuff he pulled out.
And engraving watches there on stage.
Yeah.
It really put my BevNap to shame.
Well, you guys have been friends for a long time. Did you meet on Firefly 15 years ago? Is that where you guys first came across one another?
No, we did not.
No, tell me.
I thought it was.
We met before
you
that.
You thought it was.
We're talking 1995.
Yep. You crossed paths and one of you had forgotten it.
New York City.
We right. both had, really.
We didn't know. We had to put it together later on.
Is that right?
Alan was heading off to... We'd met on Firefly, and Alan was heading off to New York. I said, go have a burrito for me at my favorite place. It's Harry's Burritos. And he said, I used to work at Harry's Burritos.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
And we started putting it together. Alan was my waiter at Harry's Burritos.
Was he an a-hole? Was Nathan an a-hole?
No. No, he wasn't. And it annoyed me that he wasn't. Because he had the hottest girlfriend. And she used to come in. She was an actress. And I remember her coming in. And whenever she came in, I'd be like, oh, my God, she's here. And then she came in one day with this good-looking guy.
And all of a sudden, you're squeezed out of the picture.
Yeah. All my hopes. It was just black beans or pinto beans. What do you want?
How was Nathan as a tipper, Alan?
Good. It was so annoying. It was he was nice.
Come on,
he was
polite. No dirt. Zero dirt on him?
Zero dirt.
That's happening. That's so odd. Every once in a while, he'd order the white beans. Right?
Oh, who does that? Oh, that's ridiculous.
You're an animal.
Yeah. So, all right. So you reconnect then, even though you didn't realize you'd met each other. You reconnect on the set of Firefly and obviously become friends and have stayed friends ever since. And what is it about – here's what I'm getting at. What is it about that experience from that show 15 years ago that has survived all the way up to 2017 and you guys are doing a very similar show based in real life kind of on your Con Man show on Comic-Con HQ? What is it about those times that has stuck with you both so much?
Well, it never stopped because the fans rallied around the show after we were canceled after 13 episodes, 14 episodes?
13, I think.
And it's more popular now than it was then.
Yeah.
Because nobody really saw it when it was on.
What network was it on?
Fox.
All right.
Fox Fridays at 8.
And the ratings were never good?
They weren't.
Okay. Yeah. And so you know, no one was surprised when you got canceled?
Well, yeah. Heartbroken, but not – I don't think I'm terribly surprised. But, yeah. You know, it's – if you meet people throughout your life, you have a good time with them, and maybe time passes and you forget. But we had good times that no one will let us forget.
Ah. So they keep bringing it up.
Exactly.
They love those good times.
It's easy for the memories to live on because everybody's always reminding you.
And it's become one of those shows that, thanks to the kinds of fans that you have, as they've analyzed it frame by frame, every single episode and every single outtake, and they know more about it than you do, right?
I sometimes say, and I'm actually due to watch it again because I've forgotten so much. Yeah.
Yeah, I said I saw you at Nerd HQ, and there was a Con Man panel, and they were asking questions that you didn't know. Yeah. And I was like, wow, these people really know their stuff.
What was that episode again? What was the one called where we did the thing? Well,
the cool thing about that whole world, and like you mentioned Con Man, like that is based on my experience with conventions. I went in, Nathan invited me to my first convention in London, 2004, 2003.
Yeah, back then.
And I always thought, oh, those nerd conventions, what is this going to be like? Had a blast. And then from an outsider perspective, went to cons all over the world and always thought that a show should be set in that world because it's stuff that people don't anticipate who haven't seen it. They think it's going to be a bunch of nerds just wearing costumes and that'll be the funny thing. But it's the convention that's right next door. That's mm-hmm. the baby doll convention with a bunch of women in their 60s treating baby dolls like actual children.
Which is also real, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, no. It happened in Orlando, Florida.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
Wow. And so that's what the show's about. It has those types of people.
What's wrong with that, though?
I'm sorry. That is a beautiful baby.
Thank you. I was holding her low. You didn't see her. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to look away because of the breastfeeding.
So you thought somebody needs to do a show like that, and then you thought, hey, wait a minute. I'm somebody.
It should be us.
I could do a show. So you call Nathan and say, are you in? And yes, Nathan?
Alan had pretty much, except for the part about putting it on paper, Alan had pretty much written it years prior. Yeah, he'd been writing it in his head for ages and finally said, I'm gonna put this, like, he's the kind of guy who says, I'm going to learn how to play guitar. And then 3 weeks and two guitar teachers later, he says, let me show you a couple songs.
That's annoying.
Oh, wow.
That's the guy.
That's
he's
a
like,
little
I'm
annoying.
I'm
going to
do this.
They're not
and he
good
does
songs.
It.
Okay,
they're terrible
The way
songs.
He makes it sound, it's impressive for 2 weeks.
It's wildly impressive. I'm going to tell you that right now. So this is, when he said, I'm going to do this, I was not surprised when he did. I'm going to share with you, I was a little surprised at how good it was.
Okay.
But
you say that he says it a lot.
Yeah,
he says that a lot to me.
Alan,
does he
this
still?
This is good. I mean, really though, it's really good.
He's still you surprised.
This. You did this.
Who helped you,
Alan? You've become the master of low expectations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell people because we have to take a quick break here in a second. Alan Tudyk is here, Nathan Fillion as well. We're talking about Con Man, the series streaming on ComicConHQ.com. And I always pause there because there's a dash in between, right? The Comic Con.
Well done. Well done. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And but you don't pronounce it.
Right.
Okay.
It's a silent dash.
But you have to say it on the radio. Otherwise
people don't know. Well, tell Alan, if you know, tell us something about that platform. That's something people sign up for and they get your show and a bunch of other shows kind of on the network too?
Yeah. It's a subscription service that
has a lot of movies on it and has our show on it and a couple of other shows. Mark Hamill has a show where
Who?
He goes around. Mark
Hack.
Hamill.
Oh. Hack.
He was on a movie a long time ago.
Can't place that.
In a galaxy far, far away. And he goes around the country meeting other collectors and nerds and sort of like, what's that one where you go around and dig through people's garages and you sell stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's a terrible show.
Yeah. It's like
American Pickers?
American Pickers. It's like American Pickers, except they don't get to pick anything, except just look at it and point at it and go, ooh.
Well, you sold it.
Comic-Con
Tune
HQ.
In to Comic-Con HQ.
Mark Hamill go, ooh.
It's where you can find the show. It's called Con Man. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Alan Tudyk, Nathan Fillion, and studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Show is called Con Man, streaming ComicConHQ.com with phenomenal guest stars in season two, including Felicia Day. And by the way, Alan, congratulations on your baby, you and Felicia. Also, Casper Van Dien is on the show, Stan Lee, Mindy Sterling.
He's a happily married now. And
but that's why I was so totally surprised that he impregnated his co-star. It was like the last thing I expected.
We're not telling people yet.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was out.
Especially anyway, her. Baby daddy.
I love that you got to bring in so many of your you know, friends and people in your world
yes.
to be in the show too, which is just so fun.
Yes. Lou Ferrigno was my favorite to get to work with. He and I had met at cons, at different sci-fi cons, and he had said, "Alan, we need to do something," and it was always like, "Yeah, we're going to work together." He said, "Of Mice and Men." We should do Of Mice and Men. And I said, that is a brilliant idea, and I'll get back to
you. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. And so presented him with us doing Of Mice and Men, the musical. And so that's in season two, where he's the idea is that Lou Ferrigno's rewritten it as a musical called I'm with Stupid. And we perform the whole musical with
that's
yeah,
very
like
funny.
Five or six songs in it. It's a lot of fun. He sings Tell Me About the Rabbits. So it's beautiful, right before he gets
I love
his
it.
Brains blown out.
That sounds beautiful.
Nathan, yeah. in your long and illustrious career, who's the person that you've got to meet that you were most excited about or got to work with that you were so happy with, like someone you really admired?
Alan Tudyk.
Really?
Yeah.
You say that? That's
nice.
I didn't even say anything.
Because you cross paths with all the greats at this point in your career, I imagine.
I have been able to work with a lot of very, very cool people that meant a lot to me when I was kind of before I even thought that acting was a feasible career,
mm-hmm.
which I still don't really think it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
But to pick a favorite, oh my gosh.
Ryan Reynolds. I know it's tough.
I'm just going to keep Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is a great one. Tom Hanks, I got to work with.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say Ted Danson. Let's say Ted Danson right now.
Ted Danson That's over Tom Hanks.
I grew up watching Cheers, and we had to pause. My dad wanted every Cheers episode on tape in sequential order without the commercials. So
is that right?
And if they went out on a Thursday night, my brother and I would be home, and we'd have to, you know, edit out the commercials on the fly. And we were into the show.
That's a perfect way to use kids, right? Who's
yeah.
with me?
And sometimes you'd forget.
You were a human DVR, Nathan.
We totally were. But sometimes you'd forget to say, okay, it's on and start, because we'd be excited about the show, and we'd miss a couple minutes of it. And boy, would we hear about it. And I got to tell Ted Danson all about my pain.
That is awesome. By the way, he's so great on The Good Place. You watching him on The Good Place?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm saving it up for binge.
He's phenomenal. Yeah. He's such a great actor. That's fun.
Tell me about Henry Rollins.
Oh, what a badass. I mean, come on now.
What a badass.
Right? The first season, we had a bit where he plays Stutter, who's a Republican actor in Hollywood, and this causes problems. But he's like he lives off the grid and, you know, makes his own beef jerky.
So he's sort of Henry Rollins?
That's the except, yeah.
He's very Henry Rollins-esque on your show.
He's, yeah, except very conservative. He went like the, yeah, if Henry
He's
went,
so game just, for everything that you put him through.
He wears a costume like a ficus. I dressed him up like a ficus this season. This guy I grew up watching in Black Flag and
right.
you know, just being this massive punk rocker. You know, who talks about, like, yeah, I've got a problem between my neck, you know, like whiplash from head banging so hard. And my knees hurt because I used to let people put cigarettes out on them. You're like, you can't be more punk rock than that, man. And it's like, could you put on this ficus costume?
Well, let me just ask you about that, because we've interviewed him a couple times, and I'm always a little afraid to interview him.
Because he's so intense.
Yes, he's intense.
And so smart.
He's very serious.
You know he's going to think you're an idiot if you ask a dumb question.
I would hate to have to pitch him a comedy idea.
He was really cool about it.
He always is, but I'm still scared.
Yeah, I always wonder what he's thinking. He doesn't – like in a group, people will be talking about things, and he doesn't say much. You just see him like smile and then smile. I want to know what goes on in there.
Right?
Yeah.
You feel like – is he smiling about what I just said? Because is that good or bad?
Exactly. He might be a million miles away. But he does hold a lot of focus. He's an intense guy. Really cool. You said smart. He is really smart. Yeah.
Henry Rollins, one of the things that I love about him, we've had him on a couple times talking about his habit of flying to a North Korea or an Iraq or someplace like that and just parachuting into a village with $40 on him and a paperback book and a backpack. And then he lives there for a month and just ingratiates himself into the village and meets the people and learns the way they live. And he just does it. He just goes from town to town like that with no fear. It's just – it's a miracle that
and
he's
you having
still alive.
Dressing like a ficus.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, man. I mean, didn't know that. I mean, I knew he went to North Korea. He's like one of the few people who can go because he's a journalist. But my God, that what a badass.
Right?
He's
what
a badass.
Badass. That's real. Yeah, and I have him dressing like a ficus.
And all right, let's talk about some of the other things that are coming up. Nathan, what for you? I know you're back in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. That's this year, right?
Okay, I got a little cameo there. I'm doing a little bit on Modern Family. I'm gonna finish that
rain or shine.
Tomorrow, rain or shine, Modern Family. I did a bit on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, cool.
And otherwise, I'm not really – I just finished an 8-year job that was kind of a crushing time commitment.
Yeah.
I'm not – people say, hey, what's next? And they're never thrilled when I say, I'm kind of chilling and gardening.
A lot of actors are afraid to chill and garden because they're afraid it's going to dry up or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think that the industry is going to collapse without me on TV for a minute.
No, no. The fear is that they're not going to want you if you're gone for a year or two.
Who said that?
No,
who
said
they didn't?
No, I'm saying –
Kevin, you tell me right now.
No. I don't know anything. I'm just saying we talked to a lot of actors, and they're afraid to take time off because of that. It just seems to be hazard of the job.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. I wonder how they would feel after 8 years of
– Yeah, okay. I was going to ask you, Nathan, because Castle was one of those shows that had hardcore fans. And you broke a lot of hearts when that show went away. I mean, I know it wasn't your decision for it to go away, but you broke – I mean, a lot of people were real, real sad about that. You still hear from them? Like, are people still begging to see you and Stana together again?
You know, yes, of course. It's so hard to shake a stick at 8 years of success.
Yeah.
I can't shake a stick at Firefly. We had barely half a year of that, and it's never stopped being a wonderful experience for me. So when I look back on something like Castle, I never do it with regret. We've accomplished a great deal, and there's not a lot of shows that have been on for 8 years.
Well, you see how many shows come on, and almost all of them go away as well the first year. Just getting the second year is amazing.
Years. Yes, exactly. But I remember when we were working on Castle, I was asking around all these old farts who have been in the industry for 40 years. The longest they've been on a show was 2 years, 3 years. This is the first time they've done anything over that amount of time.
So they were really old farts at the end of 8 years.
Yeah.
Stale as
And that's why it's surprising that Con Man has 10 season pickup. That's
what I said, yeah. They'll never stop making it is what I heard.
Right?
That's the rumor.
Well, Lionsgate gave me artistic freedom. Isn't that insane?
I was going to ask you how different that was, Comic-Con HQ from Fox. Making a show, you have total freedom, I suppose.
Because Comic-Con HQ is new and it's on the web and it's a streaming service, everyone go, Comic-Con HQ. They give you freedom. And that's rare.
Cool.
It is rare to go, here's some money, this is what you have to deliver. We'll be waiting.
We'll talk to you again when you're done.
Yeah. Get it back to us on this date, would you?
This is the paradigm shift, you guys. The entertainment industry is changing entirely. We all know now that the on demand. If you want to watch a show, it's there available for you.
Are we at the beginning of that, the middle of that, or the end of that?
We're in the beginning stages of it. There's still a transfer going on. I think television networks are kind of feeling the pressure. They're still around, but I think television and entertainment is going to be a demand thing now.
Yeah. It's become global now. They're making shows for the world. There's a lot of changes happening.
It's really exciting, and the consumers are the ones who are benefiting from it. I mean, more choice, more voices, more opportunities. Yeah.
And more money in network. There's more money all around, really, because more money's going into the web stuff to bring up the quality, and then the networks are answering it by putting a ton of money into theirs.
like, you can't catch us. And then HBO's there doing that.
Sure.
It's all really good times.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing good work. And
Thank you.
We're always excited to see you in any project. And by the way, I should mention, Alan, real quick before you go, only because you'll get yelled at by somebody at NBC if we don't mention that you are also part of the new show Powerless that's debuting just in a couple of weeks on NBC on Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah, it's, I think, a week from today. I think it's today, Thursday.
I'm going to get up. And I'm going to watch that show. It's going to be amazing. And I'm going to go to bed happy. I'm going to get up. I'm going to watch it again. And I'm going to go to bed happy. And I'm going to get up. I'm going to watch it again. And wait, go, wait a minute.
No, yeah. And I do want to. I do want to say, con man, we made a game. We're up for a couple of awards. I'm supposed to go tonight.
We're up for the Game of the Year award.
Yeah, we made a game that you get on your phone called Con Man the Game.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, it's a con manager. You set up your own sci-fi convention, and you manage it, but then aliens come down and start catching your booths on fire, sure. So you have to get super fans to kill them.
Yeah.
Another one of those.
Clean the bathrooms. You got to provide food.
Yeah, you send Joss Whedon to go clean the bathrooms, which is fun. And this guy comes, he gets conned, he gets sick and starts throwing up all over the place, and you got to
find
cure
his medicine,
him.
Yeah.
You got to find his medicine and clean up his vomit.
You know how to sell it, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. Get it on your phones right now.
And enjoy your breakfast, everybody.
It does sound like a full-time job. All right, ComicConHQ.com. Watch Con Man. Thank you to Alan. Thank you to Nathan. How about this? Kings of Leon playing the Forum Saturday night. Sold out, but we've got tickets you can win. If you're a fan of the band, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K-Rock.
Hey, that band is playing Saturday night at the Forum.
What? We'd have heard about that.
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon sold out Saturday night at the Forum. We've got your tickets now at 1-800-520-1067. And you qualify for the grand prize drawing, I assume we're doing tomorrow, for round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash to see them again at Hyde Park in London. Kevin, what's the game we're playing this time around?
We are playing Famous Kings.
King Kang. All you gotta do is name a famous King Kang. Gonna be one of the greatest. King Kang. Be sure your answer is the best. King Kang. Putting your king knowledge to the test. King Kang. The Kings of Leon are fresh. King Kang. Kang. Now it's time to name that famous. King Kang.
All right, so the band is called Kings. Oh, sorry, I wanted to. The band is called Kings of Leon, so we are doing Famous Kings. Kevin is going to be asking you a question. The answer is going to be a person or thing with king in its title. All of the answers will have king in the title. If you're right, you go into the drawing and somebody wins the Kings of Leon tickets. Who's our first contestant, please?
Nicole and Downey. Hi there.
Hi. Morning.
All right. I'm going to tell you about a famous king. You have to tell me who it is. Ready?
All right.
This famous king is an author that seems to release a different book every single day of his life. Many have been made into movies. He now lives in Maine, where all bad people go.
Not true.
And he's known for Carrie, It, and The Shining. Name that famous king.
Stephen King.
Stephen King is correct, yes. Nicely done. Hold on.
You're right about the Maine, though, I'll tell you that.
Right?
I mean, it's a great
people
state.
That live in Maine
One
are
of
just
the best states,
bad all around.
If not the best state.
Melissa in Norwalk, hi.
Hi.
All right, are you ready?
Yes,
this famous king was a boxing promoter for almost 112 years, and and it has to be a wig, right? Because that shock of hair that always looks like he's being electrocuted. Oh, and also he killed a dude, and this is him.
I'm just happy to be here with Kevin Bean in the studio for K-Rock with the music now roaring, saying a big fisticuff battle is about to take place.
Name that king.
Name that with the weird hair. I know it's King something. I don't know.
It's actually something King, if that helps you.
Something King. He's got, I know that dude.
Yeah.
I knew Stephen King.
Oh, sorry.
She knew Stephen King, though.
She knew Stephen.
Still...
She knew the last one.
We can put her in or no?
I'm sorry, Melissa. That's Don King is who that is. That's Don King. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Robert in Montebello. Hi, Robert.
Hey, good morning.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Famous Kings. In 2005, there was a movie with a famous king as the star. He was just happily living on an island. And it also starred Jack Black, Naomi Watts. I cried when I saw the movie and was mocked heartlessly by the bastards I work with because they don't have a heart. And here's the sound that it makes. Name that king.
Oh, boy. King Kong.
Yes.
You sounded why did it seem like he wasn't going to come up with
it? I have no idea. Oh, man, I have no idea. King Kong. All right, congratulations. Hold on. Let's go to Mike and Yorba Linda. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
This famous king works on our show. He can't pronounce any words. He barely reads. If a number is 7,000, he'll say 7,000. Also, within a month or two, he'll probably be sent back to Mexico.
Ooh.
He works on our show, someone on the Kevin and Bean show.
With the name King in it.
With the name King on Kevin and Bean?
Yes. And he might be sent back to Mexico. He's a right. king that might be sent back to Mexico. Who could right. he be?
Oh, I know you guys call him the King of Mexico.
Right.
What's his first name?
You don't have to curse.
No.
All right.
Shoot, I know you guys call him the King of Mexico.
We do, yeah. His name is Dave.
Oh, shoot.
His name is Dave the King of Mexico is what we were looking for. Nice try, though.
Sorry. All right, let's move along to Craig in El Segundo. Hi, Craig.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This restaurant has 15,243 outlets in 100 countries. Its best name, Burger, is the Whopper, which was also my nickname in college.
Would that be Burger King?
Yes, it would. I wasn't even finished, but yes, it is. Congratulations. How dare you?
The Whopper.
Jenny in Anaheim. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Jenny, what are the chances that Kevin's nickname in college was, in fact, the Whopper, do you think?
I don't believe that.
100%. Okay. Thank you. This famous king is widely considered the most influential leader of the American Civil Rights Movement. He fought to overturn Jim Crow segregation laws and eliminate social and economic differences between blacks and whites. He also has a song written about him by U2. All right. Name that king.
Martin Luther King.
Yes. Nicely done. Hold on, please.
Kevin did a lot of Wikipedia researching for that question, by the way.
How dare you? This next one's my favorite. Eddie, hi.
Hello.
This famous king was famous for his kitschy commercials in Southern California for his bedspread kingdom. He used to say, "I am the king."
I'm going to take a guess. Cow King? I have no idea.
That's Al the Bedspread King.
R.I.P.
I respected his Cow King, though, because California King is a bed.
Right.
I
think he was thinking of Cal Worthington when he was thinking of TV commercials.
Oh, see, I thought he went California King.
I was just listening for Al the Bedspread King.
Were you?
And that was, nobody said that, yeah. All right, got time for one more contestant.
This is Josh in Burbank. Hi, Josh.
Hey, party people.
Comedian Steve Martin used to do a sketch on SNL about this famous Egyptian king from the period of the Egyptian history known as the New Kingdom. Some of his lyrics were...
People stand in line to see the boy king.
Well, the answer's pretty much in there, but say it anyway, would you?
What the heck was that?
We're asking, who's the famous king that Steve Martin sang about in that song?
I couldn't even hear it.
Oh, that's a shame because they said it.
Yeah.
Steve Martin
said it in the song.
That's
couldn't hear it.
That's King Tut.
King Tut. All right.
I gave Omar specific directions on which lyrics to call because that song is all King Tut. But
how about Jenny and Craig and Robin and Nicole? They are all in the drawing trying to win their way in to see Kings of Leon this Saturday night at the Forum and be eligible to grand prize to see him again in London. Unfortunately, only one caller will win, Miss Alma McKay. Who's that going to be, please?
The winner's Nicole.
Nicole. Yay! Congratulations, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Enjoy the show and thanks for playing the game.
Kang Kang. Thanks a lot for playing in the famous Kang
Kang. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Dave King of Mexico, who is a longtime Clippers fan, is really enjoying these Laker lean years, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is. He loves bringing that up and talking about it a lot off air.
He does, but oddly, the Clippers aren't really doing all that great either.
That's an excellent point, Kevin. They both have problems. We'll talk about that more with our friend Jim Rome on sports right after the top of the hour. First, though, wrap us here with the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. What's going on, dude?
Sad news. Mary Tyler Moore has passed away. She, of course, was a legendary TV icon, not only... was she the star of one of the best early sitcoms with the Dick Van Dyke Show. She played his wife, Laura Petrie, on that show. And then went on to star in another one of the greatest sitcoms on television, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, which broke so many boundaries for women in television. She became sort of an icon for single, working women everywhere. She was the first real star to play a character like that on television. Then she became a very popular television producer with her husband at the time, Grant Tinker. She accomplished a lot, went on to star in Ordinary People with director Robert Redford, which made her a powerful dramatic actress as well. Very talented and, by all accounts, lovely lady. She was 80 years old and passed away. And, of course, with the death of Mary Tyler Moore, that meant you got to hear a lot of her TV show's theme song, Love Is All Around, was the name of the song. It was the theme song for the Mary Tyler Moore Show for its entire run. And you may or may not know, it's been covered by several bands as well. Husker Du did a version of it.
I didn't know that.
And Joan Jett, of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts fame, also did a version of the Mary Tyler Moore TV show theme song. Here's a little taste.
Looking down the wall, long with a smile. Take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. What a tuber, you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it. Love is all around, no need to fake it. You can dust it down, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Yeah. Come on. How great is that?
It's a pretty good cover. Bad.
It's pretty great. Joan wrote yesterday, I grew up watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I was inspired that women were shown as being equal to men. It had an influence on me as I became a musician. The show was groundbreaking, important, and funny. I will miss Mary Tyler Moore, she wrote yesterday.
So. Ralph, you'll enjoy this P.S. Sonny Curtis, the man who wrote that Love Is All Around song, is the same guy who wrote I Fought the Law. Another awesome song.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Was that the end of that?
Is that your story?
That was it.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Wait, I have a fun fact.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You
I wish we didn't need it.
Sweet
no.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
You know, I had...
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
I had that information in this little story that I did, but I said, you know what? I'm going to self-edit. I'm going to leave out the guy who wrote a song for the Bobby Fuller Four, also wrote this theme song.
But everyone loves I Fought the Law, though.
I'm going to self-edit. I'm not talking about his career with Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
He was the guitarist in the band before the Crickets.
I'm going to leave all that alone. I'm just going to...
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Sweet Jesus in heaven.
I thought it was interesting.
But it wasn't.
Noted.
You know, it is interesting. We have a new job for Beer Mug.
Excellent.
Yep.
Away from here?
No, it was one of his...
Oh, duties. Okay.
His duties. You know, we send him on the red carpet sometimes to get interviews.
Right.
Sometimes we send him out in the street to talk to the man on the street, see how he's feeling about the issues of the day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now we have another assignment for Beer Mug. We're going to send him over to talk to Tito Ortiz.
Oh. That should be good.
Tito Ortiz is, how can I put this? Let's say angry over claims that his fight with Chael Sonnen was fixed. And so he would like to speak to all the doubters about the legitimacy of that fight. I'll let Tito tell you in his own words.
I want to extend this out to all the people who thought that that choke was fake, that I put Chael Sonnen in. I welcome you down to my gym, and let me put you in that choke, and let me show you what it feels like. All you got to do is sign a release saying that it's okay for Tito to choke me and see if you can get out of this choke, okay? So that's an invite for every person who thought that fight was fake. It's embarrassing. Come on, people, man. This is my life and soul that I go out there and I try to fight and inspire others and fight my heart out. And for that fight to say that it's fixed, you're confused.
So we're going to send Beer Mug down there.
I like it.
Since he believes that it was a fix. Have him just sign that waiver. See how it happens. Let's send Allie, too. And Allie and Beer Mug.
See, I don't think that the choke was fixed at the end. It was getting to the choke that I was a bit questioning.
Okay, let's send Allie
just
down.
Saying.
Tito would like to speak with you.
He would like to have a conversation
with
you.
Tito, I think you're a delight.
I think it's going
to
be.
Ralph, I don't know if you're kidding or not, but I have already asked Dave to try to get some credentials for Mugs to go down there and interview Tito.
Excellent.
I think that needs to happen.
Doesn't seem like he needs credentials. It just seems like he needs to go down there and just
sign a waiver.
Sign a waiver.
All right. Got to do that.
It's not the White House press corps. It's just walking into a gym and saying, hey, choke me out.
I meant get permission, you know.
I thought you faked it.
That would be so great.
He's a new dad. Don't kill him.
Look,
the kid will be better off. Let's face it.
And there's plenty of time for Nicole to remarry. The kid won't even remember Beer Mug.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kid President from YouTube, Robbie Novak, is 14 years old today. Ellen DeGeneres is 59. The great one, Wayne Gretzky. He played for the Edmonton Oilers.
He played
and the Los Angeles Kings.
Years old
and
today.
The Kings as well.
Yeah, but really, mostly the Oilers.
But the LA Kings.
Mostly the Kings.
Right.
Mostly the Oilers.
But really, Kings.
Made his biggest
really
impression, I think, as an
did
Oilers.
The most as a King.
56 yeah. years old. And Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen. When I get the magic lamp and I make and I rub it, I get the genie.
Okay.
One of the three wishes for me would have to be, I'd like to be able to play guitar like Eddie Van Halen. That's one. Of, I think that'd be one of my three wishes.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
All right.
Good. We got that. We got that going.
So there's
for
that.
We got that.
And you have two more.
Right. Then I'm going to ask for three more wishes. Boom! Drop the lamp. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. And just after 8 o'clock every Thursday morning, we check in with Jim Rome. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Hey, guys, really quick. Is there nothing you can do about Sanchez?
Look, we've been trying something. For 10 years. We've been trying to do something about Sanchez.
He's doing something that I find to be really out of line,
which
really
is,
inappropriate.
Which is
talking to me.
Yeah.
Talking to me over and over again.
But at least you're clear when you say, Sanchez, stop talking to me. And that message gets
him.
Through.
Well, what's yeah. with this guy?
Doesn't seem
anyway,
to dissuade
if
him at all.
Something you can do about him, that would be great. What's
all
up?
Right.
Other than that, I'm doing great. What's up, guys?
Jim Rome is on the phone as or on the show, as Kevin mentioned, every week about this time. You can hear his program from 9 till noon at jimrome.com. And don't forget the Daily Jungle podcast is available same place. Also, play.it at iTunes. It's the best of the whole show for that particular day. I got to be honest. I know we're in that that fallout. Usually we talk NFL. We're kind of in that two-week bubble before the Super Bowl. So there's not a lot going on. But there does seem to be some drama in basketball right now, particularly local here. Where do you want to start, Jim? The bad Clippers or the bad Lakers?
Why don't we start with the bad Lakers because yeah. they're much worse than the Clippers.
Yep.
But then we knew that, right? The thing about the Lakers, guys, is they got off to that great start. They went 10-10. They beat some good teams. And everybody was like, damn, Luke Walton is a genius. These guys might even be a playoff team. In a word, they never were. It was a mirage. It was fool's gold. They were punching above their weight. That's not who they were. Now, they have been injured, and they are a little bit banged up. But this is much closer to who these guys really are. All the buzz is off that fast start. And now the only remaining question is, do they purposely go into the tank to try to protect their top draft pick?
Are you surprised that they, as a franchise, haven't tried to really bring in any big name, which you could almost count on in the past? They would always
tried.
Go big.
They have tried. They have tried to bring in big names, and the big names just don't want to come.
But why? So, who doesn't want to come to Los Angeles? That I always thought was part of the draw for these players from other cities.
It always has been. It always has been, and I think that in recent years it was not nearly as attractive. And then there was this, the elephant in the room was, well, if Kobe's there, maybe they're not going to want to come because, look, Kobe's not an easy guy to play with. Kobe's
right.
a very demanding guy, and other stars may not like that. It was easy to say that. But then all of a sudden, look where they are. So what they did end up with were a lot of high draft picks, and they got a lot of young talent. But that's not really playing out. I'm looking at that roster, and I don't see that one legitimate lock as a star or a franchise guy. So what they're doing is really not working. You got to kind of ride it out, develop your young players. But I'm not sure that it's going to get better anytime soon. In fact, I know it's not.
And by the way, it's one thing to say the Lakers are bad. It's another thing to say they are historically bad. That game over the weekend was what? I can't remember how much they lost by, but it was like
49.
40. Yeah.
49
to a crappy Dallas team.
And it was the worst loss in franchise history, right? Not only with the few number of points that the Lakers scored, but by what the point differential was. So it's literally a historic all-time worst loss.
Yeah, historically embarrassing. And you know it's bad. Like last night they get beat by Portland, and the take is, well, we tried. Well, we were competitive. I mean, is that how bad things are right now? These guys get moral victories. At least we didn't lose by 50. At least we weren't embarrassed. We tried really hard, so we can build on that. So it's not a good thing. Again, the big thing is now, are they bad enough that they get to keep that top three pick, or do they just go into the tank and make sure they're bad enough to keep that pick?
All right, I
want
to ask you about that, Jim, because Coach Walton was asked that the other day, and he said, no, we play every night like we're trying to win every game. What do you think, ethically, they ought to do
understanding that they've got fans who are looking toward the future and want them to get some good players next year. What should they do?
I think the good news is, it's a great question. I think the good news is they can do what they're ethically supposed to do, and they're still that crappy, and they'll still get that pick. You know what I mean? Like, Luke Walton's not about that life where we're going to go into the tank on purpose just to get that pick. They brought him in to develop young players, so all he has to do is develop young players. Keep running them out there every single night. They'll develop. They'll get their faces punched in, and they'll get to keep the pick.
So they don't have to tank.
They don't have to tank to tank. Exactly. They're just that bad right now.
It's all right. It's going to end up all right.
Yeah. Let's now look at alternate nights at Staples Center and talk about the Clippers. Now, obviously, it was a blow to the team to lose CP with that that hand injury. Blake Griffin is now back, but that's not enough. And there's a lot of complaints that the team this year is just not playing like a group anymore, that it seems to be more individual players out there doing their thing. What do you think, Jim?
Well, that was the case the other night when they got beat by Philadelphia. I mean, Chris Paul or not, if you're up 19 on a Philadelphia team that's gotten better but really isn't that good, and you end up getting blown out, that's because guys are doing their own thing and they're not playing well. I mean, they have a game where they just stop playing, Philadelphia doesn't give up, and it comes back to bite them in the ass. And where that leaves us is, this was supposed to be the year for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. You know, the ultimate now or never for the Clippers. But they're the same old Clippers. Yeah. They fire out. Blake Griffin gets hurt. He comes back. Chris Paul gets hurt. It's the same thing we see with these guys every single year. And the fact that Chris Paul is going to be out now probably two more months, that could cost them the home court. And then they might get blown out in the first round, and then you have no choice. You have to blow that thing up once and for all.
What do you say to Doc Rivers? Is he doing something wrong?
I think that Doc's an amazing coach. I think that Doc's done a pretty decent job of putting that team together. They're a bad luck crew, right? There's just a bad vibe. They can't stay healthy. And the problem is, even when they have their best and they are together, it's still not good enough. Chris Paul's going to go in the Hall of Fame, and he still has not made it to the conference finals. So, to me, they're a lot more exciting than they've ever been, but it still doesn't work. There's just something about it that's off. The karma's all wrong. It's kind of like Sanchez. It just doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, you can keep doing the same thing over and over again like you guys do. You bring him back, or you can make a change.
All right, so fire Dave. All right.
We are talking to our
blow
friend Jim
your
Rome.
Morning show up, man. Get rid of Sanchez. Now or never.
Joins us every Thursday here on the Kevin Bean Show. One more out of market question I have for you is: there's a lot of talk about a trade between the Knicks and the Cavaliers. Obviously, that all goes through LeBron. What does he want to do? Does he want to get Melo there with him, or what?
There was a lot of talk until the Cavaliers found out what the Knicks wanted to do, and then they slammed the door shut. And then there was no more talk. The report was: hey, look, we'd love to trade Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love. And the Cavaliers just laughed in their face. I would have loved to have been on that call. Like, wait. You want to give us your aging ball hog in exchange for a guy who's 4 years younger, makes less money, is a double-double every single night, who played a big part in our championship run last year and is better this year? Oh, hell no, you big hippie, Philip. It's not happening.
It's not happening.
They don't want him, and I wouldn't either. And Phil Jackson and the Knicks are still a disaster.
That is a disaster.
Is Carmelo Anthony Kobe now? I mean, is he hurting the franchise?
With less talent?
No, yeah, what he is a guy that has no trade clause, which Phil gave him, by the way.
Right.
So he's got the hammer in his hand, not Phil. And Phil didn't do a good enough job of getting the guys around him that they needed, and now they're stuck with each other. Melo's not going anywhere. Melo likes it there. He gets paid a lot of money, gets as many shots as he wants, and he's a big deal in New York. He's not about winning a ring. He's quite happy where he is.
All right, JimRome.com to hear the show from 9 till noon once again today. You can hear the podcast at play.it or iTunes or same site, JimRome.com. Hey, ask Alvin if he's interested in coming over here to FM. We might have a producer's job open. Would you do that for us?
Hey, Alvin, would you like to go to K-Rock? They might be interested. Alvin's not here today. Do you believe that? Alvin is not here today.
Okay. Well, we don't want him that either.
So, no, he's not interested. He's not interested.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it.
Once again, this morning on the show, we have tickets for the NHL All-Star Weekend, including the skills competition this Saturday, the game on Sunday. We are looking for hockey fans. Not now, but in about 45 minutes or so, we're going to ask you to call in. You love the NHL. Kevin, what are we going to be wanting?
We're going to be wanting hockey haiku.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Hockey haiku. So you have to come up with a haiku about why you need these tickets to see the NHL All-Star Weekend.
All right, and if you don't know what a haiku is, just Google it and you'll figure it out. But it's just a very short poem, basically. So 1-800-520-1067, in about 45 minutes or so, we'll be looking for you and your hockey haiku to win tickets for the All-Star Game this weekend, which, by the way, so much stuff going on. It's just wall-to-wall action this weekend. It's going to be really, really funny. If you love hockey, there's no better place in the world to be. I'm switching gears now. Rolling Stone got an exclusive interview, and as far as I know, this is the first in-depth interview that has ever been done with Paris Jackson. You guys know very much about her?
I don't. I was surprised to see that she was 18.
18 years old. She was 11 when her dad, Michael Jackson, passed away. She is now 18, and she's speaking out on a number of topics. And we thought it might be fun to, because it's been a while since we dialed up the hotline to heaven, we thought it might be fun to kind of run by some of the stuff in this Rolling Stone article and see how that squares with her dad, who I believe we can contact via the hotline to heaven if we get lucky here. Let's call him up and see.
Damn out!
Michael?
Hello?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Where the hell have you been?
It has been a while since we called, and I want to apologize for taking so long to get back to you.
Sit here. I'm waiting and waiting, and I never hear from you guys anymore. Mm.
Sorry about that.
I mean,
our guy died.
Sort of busy.
You forget all about it.
But aren't you enjoying yourself in heaven? Don't you have plenty to do to occupy your time?
Of course I do. Heaven is cool.
Yeah?
A lot of things to do here. Uh-huh. And it's nice, and it's comfortable.
Right.
But it's nice to get a call once in a while.
Sorry.
Well,
okay, all right.
We've been sort of self-involved. We apologize.
I've been there. I understand.
All right.
I'm a monkey.
Yeah,
you did have a monkey.
Yeah.
How
self-involved is that?
Right?
Right?
I do want to ask you about a couple of things that are in. You're aware that Paris is now 18 and she did this interview with Rolling Stone. I don't know if you follow what's going on out there.
I don't know much about Europe, but I think Paris is a lot older than just 18.
No, no, this is your daughter.
Hundreds and hundreds.
This is your daughter,
years.
Paris Michael.
Your firstborn.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
She said, for instance, her dad taught her how to cook soul food mostly. He was a kick-ass cook. His fried chicken is the best in the world. He taught me how to make a sweet potato pie.
That is true.
Really?
That can't possibly be.
I'm a whiz in the kitchen. What are you laughing about?
Well, who thinks you could cook?
Why wouldn't I be able to cook?
Well, you have chefs at your disposal. I just wouldn't think you'd be a cook.
I loved cooking. I made amazing chicken and waffles.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Sweet potato pie.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I love Chinese food.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yes?
I made a soup.
You made a soup.
Are we supposed to be connecting some dots here, Michael?
No, not yet.
Okay.
It's called Cream of Some Young Guy.
Oh, wow. What are you doing?
Wow.
Michael, what are you doing?
Wow.
We're having fun.
I mean,
here.
Come on. You're in heaven.
You schooled.
You're in heaven.
You schooled. That is an inappropriate comment for heaven.
For heaven.
I sure am in heaven.
Right.
You schooled Paris on every conceivable genre of music. My dad was very much into Van Halen and Guns N' Roses. He introduced me to Earth, Wind & Fire, The Temptations, Tupac, Run DMC, Tchaikovsky, Debussy. You just loved all kinds of music.
I did. I loved all kinds of music. And I exposed my children
to all kinds of music.
All kinds of
music. Okay, good.
Okay, all right.
I wanted them to be well-rounded.
All right. And the controversial headline coming out of this.
Controversy?
Yes, there is controversy about something that your daughter said. She said that there is no doubt in her mind that you were murdered. He would drop hints about people being out to get him. At some point, he was like, they're going to kill me one day.
That's true.
And she is convinced that you were murdered. Absolutely, she says. It's obvious. All arrows point to that. I know it sounds like a total conspiracy theory and it sounds like BS, but all real fans and everybody in the family knows it. It was a setup. It was BS.
That is absolutely true.
Who would want you dead, Michael?
A lot of people.
Who, what? Though?
Doesn't she say in the article it's a lot of people?
She says a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people.
But
what
does
she mean?
For some clarification.
Well, it's obvious. The obvious names jump to mind.
Like
Vince the ShamWow guy.
Why would he want to kill
you? Why would the ShamWow guy want Michael Jackson dead?
I think we know.
Michael?
I went through a lot of ShamWows.
Oh, I see.
They're very absorbent.
But aren't they now?
But wouldn't he be happy about that?
You were helping.
Right?
Did you have a lot of cleaning up to do, Michael?
Yeah, I mean,
don't
Bean.
Follow up on that.
I did.
I'm sorry, was that not obvious enough to you?
It was painfully obvious.
Dr. Oz, he wanted me dead.
Dr. Oz?
The TV doctor, why?
Yes, because I went there looking for a heart and a brain, and my friend needed some courage.
Okay, that's the Wizard of Oz. That's a movie.
That wasn't you at all.
Nothing to do with Dr. Oz.
He was always too confused when I called him.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Dallas Raines, he wanted me dead.
The weatherman?
What?
Yes.
Why did he want you dead?
Because of a cold front.
What?
Is that code?
You know who else wanted me dead?
I want to talk about Dallas.
Picataro.
Oh, no.
Picataro wanted me dead.
Why?
Because I had an idea for a song about orange juice.
Yeah?
And he stole it.
What? No. This was yours?
I like orange juice. Thank you. Grape juice? No. Tomato juice? No.
I was not expecting this at all.
Tomato juice? No. Orange juice. Orange juice.
Doesn't really sound like Michael Jackson song.
Mango juice?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, we're gonna let you go, Michael.
No.
Let you get back to heaven.
I like orange juice.
Oh! Jam out!
That doesn't sound like a song you would sing, I don't think. Right.
All right, you okay?
Okay, all right.
I love this story so much, and I think I mentioned this to you guys after the show yesterday. Now I've got some great audio to play for it. This is the Australian Reptile Park. Now, one of the things that they do is they work to make antidotes for snake bites. And there's a very dangerous, venomous spider. I mean spiders. There's a very venomous spider in Australia that is known as the funnel web spider. And you need some of the poison from the spider to make the antidote.
Right.
And they're running low on it because they've had a lot of people get bit lately. So what they are doing is, instead of putting out and blanketing the country with news about the dangers of the funnel web spider, and whatever you do, don't go anywhere near the funnel web spider and stay away from the spider at all costs because it's very serious and dangerous and poisonous, what they're doing is they're asking people to catch the spiders so that they can get the venom out of them to make more antidotes.
Now, so they're asking the general public to catch something that could be deadly to them and bring it in.
Doesn't seem good.
Now, look, I love spiders. I really love them. And still think if there's a spider that I know is this poisonous, maybe I shouldn't try to catch it.
Yeah, maybe just know what it looks like and stay away.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's hear the announcement, shall we?
My name is Tim Faulkner, and I'm proud to be a part of the anti-venom program we run at the Australian Reptile Park.
By the way, with that accent, doesn't everything just sound delightful?
Sure does.
Wonderful.
We milk funnel web venom to supply CSL in Melbourne so they can make the life-saving anti-venom. I'm going to show you how to safely catch a funnel web in your home or garden, but never put yourself at risk. Please don't touch them. Don't try and pick them up.
So don't touch them. Don't try to pick them up. But go ahead and catch them.
This is crazy.
I just feel like this is a really thin line that you're asking people to walk. I mean, what do you think the response rate is going to be on this announcement, this plea for help from the Australian Reptile Park?
Look, you could die, but you can also help us. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying.
First, grab yourself a glass jar that's at least 10 centimeters tall. Punch some holes in the lid so they can breathe a little. And then you need to add a bit of substrate. You can put in some damp soil or some damp cotton wool, and that's just fine.
Okay, so cotton wool, it looks like cotton balls is what it looks like.
This is a lot of work.
Right? You're building a terrarium, basically, is what you're doing.
And you haven't even had to milk it yet.
I don't think you have to do the milking.
I have any idea how to do that, for God's sake.
I think you just have to catch it, but they do the milking.
I see.
Don't use a plastic container like a takeaway container, because funnel web fangs can pierce right through them.
Okay, so now...
It can pierce through plastic.
they can pierce through plastic, so don't use a takeaway container. Are you sure you're asking me to go catch this thing?
This is the Onion.
It's
this,
not.
It is.
This is real?
This is real. This is what they're asking people, at responsible adults, they say, in Australia to do this. But be careful, because it shoots flames out of its eyes.
Wow.
It has a poison arrow that can go through your heart, so look out, but go ahead and catch it for us. Jesus.
Funnel web is an aggressive spider, but they don't jump. So you can place your jar gently down behind the spider using a stick or a ruler, at least, let's say, 30 centimeters long.
Yeah, you want to use at least a ruler because you don't want to get any closer than
right.
that. Right? I mean,
right.
Literally, that's what he's using to push this little spider into a jar.
And gently put the spider into the jar. Once he's in, lift him up and the lid on. And remember, don't leave it anywhere near the kids or in sunlight. If you live close to the reptile park, you can drop the spider off to us. If not, we have drop-off points as far south as Wollongong, north to Newcastle, and a lot of places in between. Visit the Reptile Park's website, reptilepark.com.au, for drop-off point details. And thank you for helping us save lives.
Oh, yeah.
How about
I catch your
spider, you come pick it up and bring me a freaking pizza? That's insane.
It does sound like they're asking a lot of the people. Doesn't it?
Listen, people, risk your lives and then drive.
And then drive it to us.
And then put a poisonous spider in your car and then drive it a great distance to drop it off to us. Yeah, you're right. There should be at least a free pizza involved.
Wow. Absolutely.
So anyway, I will keep you posted because I'm just kind of counting down the minutes till I see a story of a whole bunch of people getting bit by this spider because they were trying to do the right thing. Hey!
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:52.
A little too on the nose for me, if you ask me.
I would do it. It's too obvious.
Because it fits, you mean?
All right.
Because that was how it started, and it was just a little blech.
Okay.
Yeah, boom, right there.
Cool. All right, I like it. But, all right. Hey, guys.
I think I'll take the box a little bit.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Hey!
We're about 50 minutes away from opening up the phones for your hockey haiku. We're giving away tickets to an all-star weekend with your favorite hockey players. The NHL All-Star Skills Competition and game itself are coming to Staples Center this weekend. We're going to be looking for your hockey haiku. And I understand, Kevin, you have prepared an example for listeners who may not be familiar with the haiku so they know what it is we're going to be looking for in about 15 minutes.
The haiku is a traditional form of Japanese poetry.
Mm-hmm.
It's three lines, five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. So here we go. Ready?
Yes.
NHL All-Stars, if you want to attend it, call with haiku.
In 20 minutes. And feel free not to read it like that. You can just read it.
like you're speaking.
Like you're speaking, not like you're actually
NHL
counting.
NHL All-Stars, if you want to attend it.
I was trying to figure out because my actual example said call now and we're not asking.
We're not doing that right now.
Oh,
so in about 20 minutes. Is
All right. So like that, only funnier and better is
like
what we're going to
like
be looking for.
You didn't have a stroke.
I feel like that was perfect.
Right.
All right. In about 50 minutes, your hockey haikus we will be looking for here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Hey, you know what's right around the corner?
Valentine's Day?
Paley Fest!
Oh, Paley Fest!
Yeah! Oh, I love Paley Fest so much.
That's a good deal.
Paley Fest, for those of you who aren't familiar, and if you are not familiar, well, you're no friend of mine. Paley Fest is the big television festival done every year by the Paley Center for Media, and they used to be known as the Museum of Television and Radio. And they celebrate quality television programs past and present at this month-long event they do called Paley Fest, and they do it at the Dolby Theater. It's really cool. You get to meet all the cast and creative teams of your favorite TV shows. And every year, they're kind enough to include us in the Paley Fest. We get a chance to give tickets to our listeners, which is cool because these are really hard to come by. It sells out almost immediately every year. This year's lineup is terrific. Walking Dead. They're doing Heroes and Aliens of the CW, so you're going to meet Flash and Arrow and the Legends team and all those folks. Orphan Black is going to have its own night. Westworld, American Horror Story, and more. So what I'd like to do is give away some tickets right now to two lucky winners. If you are a fan of the CBS series NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS Los Angeles, that's LL Cool J and Chris...
I wish you wouldn't make that noise.
I wish he wouldn't make that noise.
Back to you, Ralph.
If you'd like to go, why wouldn't you? It's a great show. You can meet the creative team and cast behind NCIS Los Angeles. Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers through at that phone number will get to spend an evening with the gang from NCIS Los Angeles.
The LL stands for Licking Lips.
It's ladies' love.
Mary Tyler Moore passed away yesterday in Connecticut. She was a TV legend. She had been in poor health the past couple years, and apparently she passed away from what they're calling cardiopulmonary arrest because of pneumonia. But she had had brain surgery and suffered with juvenile diabetes the better part of her life. And she was a groundbreaking, very, very talented, special woman. She, of course, was Dick Van Dyke's wife on his wildly popular, successful sitcom, and then went on to her own show, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, starring as Mary Richards. First time, really, a single, independent, working woman had been featured in a TV show in quite that way. So it was groundbreaking. Then she went on to produce a lot of television with her then-husband, Grant Tinker, when they formed MTM Studios. So a real talent, and she will be missed at 80 years old.
I'm very disappointed that Kevin did not watch The Mary Tyler Moore Show, one of the greatest shows in the history of television.
He was busy setting
stuff
things
to do.
On fire.
Right, but it's must-see TV.
What am I supposed to do now?
Well,
you're supposed
if it's
to must watch
see
it.
TV, I guess you must see it.
I'm fine. I'm sure it was great. I'm
really? Not... Are you fine?
Yeah.
Really, you think so?
Better
do
than
you?
Fine. I'm great.
Do you think so?
I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're
right.
Your life
Scott,
is
whatever you say. Zip it.
Your life is lesser for having not seen it. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, that's a it's a bold statement.
Shia LaBeouf, he's fine too. He thinks he's fine. He's doing that 4-year-long live broadcast.
You know, yeah, what is that? They're setting a camera there, and you're supposed to just stop and tell your thoughts for 4 years?
He Will Not Divide Us. The right. He Will Not Divide Us project.
Mm-hmm.
It is live streaming video outside the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, New York. And he has been on the live stream repeating the phrase, "He will not divide us," since the president's inauguration. And other people are coming down, and they're all participating. And it's supposed to be an event that will bring people together. Well, sadly, it's been a little marred because it's been plagued by white nationalist trolls since its inception. And they've been showing up, and they've been counter-protesting. Mm. And Shia got a little worked up, a little agitated, and got in the face of one of the counter-protesters this morning. And he was charged with misdemeanor assault and arrested this morning.
Hmm.
Apparently, they got into a scuffle. Shia pulled the scarf off a 25-year-old man, and the man claims it scratched his face.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
And then he got pushed, and so the guy went to the cops, and the cops showed up, and they arrested Shia, which you could see live on the stream in the background as they took him away. But the exciting part was when he returned. That's the exciting part, because they released him shortly after, and the people who were there in front of the camera, it was just two guys, two African-American guys, who were very excited to see Shia LaBeouf round the corner and come back to the camera. They didn't think it was possible that he could be out of jail so quickly. They thought it might be the ghost of Shia LaBeouf. They didn't know what was happening. Please enjoy my two favorite people in the world.
Oh, no. I think this might be Shia LaBeouf. If this is Shia LaBeouf, if this is Shia LaBeouf, I'm about to go crazy. It can't be.
It is him.
It's a ghost. It's not Shia LaBeouf. It can't be Shia LaBeouf. Now, listen. We said he will not divide us. This is some guy. This is not Shia. He will not divide us. He will not divide us.
Oh, my God. He will not divide us. He will not divide us. Free Shia. We free Shia.
He will not divide us.
My boy's home.
He will not divide us.
He's out of jail. Shia's out of jail. He made it. Free Shia. Y'all did it. Hashtag free Shia.
Y'all did it with that hashtag, you guys.
Hashtag free Shia.
Yeah.
Because that's how the NYPD decides
yep.
to release.
Like, we got up to 30,000. You're out.
Hashtag even Stevens, one of these screams at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a deep cut. Today's celebrity birthday is Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen, 62 years old today. Okay, never mind. Wayne Gretzky's 56. Everybody surprised by that?
Yep. That would have been an outstanding opportunity to hear a little Van Halen.
Well, who could have seen that coming? for Wayne Gretzky?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
The great one.
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres is 59 years old today, and Kid President celebrates his 14th birthday. Robbie Novak of YouTube. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Is it haiku time? Are we doing that right now?
No, we're doing that next.
Okay.
No.
At the end.
Yes.
We're doing the thing first, and then we're
doing we can talk about the haiku thing now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They call
people
now,
calling
gonna,
now. That's
yes,
what I meant.
They call now, but we're not going to do it now.
That's what I was asking.
Yes,
if we
they call now.
It's a well-oiled machine.
So just say it.
We're new. We're new on the show.
Yeah, you just met.
1-800-520-1067. We've been giving you the heads up for the last 45 minutes or so. Now it is time to get on the phones with your hockey haiku. That's what you're going to be delivering for us, and one of you is going to win tickets to the 2017 Coors Light NHL All-Star Skills Competition Saturday at Staples Center, as well as the All-Star Game itself on Sunday. So call now, 1-800-520-1067 with your hockey haiku. Dr. Drew, I apologize you had to hear all that. That was a bloody mess, and you are too professional to have to follow a conversation like that, sir.
It is absolutely no problem so long as I need not participate in hockey haiku.
We're not going to ask you to write one, right?
No.
Dr. Drew joins us every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has a very busy schedule, of course. You can hear him weekday afternoons with Mike Catherwood from noon till 3 on KABC. He's got a lot of podcasts, including a daily one with Adam Carolla you might want to check out. There's the Weekly Infusion podcast, the Dr. Drew podcast, and so much more at drdrew.com. And I'm so glad you're on today because there is a new term, not new to you certainly, but new to a lot of people that's been talked a lot about this week. Intersex is what we're hearing about. Intersex. There's a popular runway model named Hani Gabi who did an interview with USA Today on Monday and came out as one of the first high-profile people to say that she was born not male, not female, not both, not either, but intersex. What's she talking about here, Doc?
Well, this is actually one of the more complicated topics you guys have had me talk about, so I'm going to try to make this understandable to people. Let's start with what intersex is. Mm-hmm. It's a biological, sorry, let me try to frame this in a way that's accurate. It's a way of describing biological ambiguities in the number and types of sex chromosomes you have, the types of gonads, the ovary or testes.
Is that a medical term, gonads?
Yeah, that's a medical term.
It is, okay.
The type of your sex organs, how you metabolize or respond to sex hormones, what your reproductive anatomy looks like internally or externally. And we've known in medicine forever there's a lot of spectrum in all of this, and not everyone fits a traditional sort of all XY, all XS, with perfect responses to the hormones. There can be all sorts of a variety of disorders, including even some disorders that involve the adrenal glands, some that involve the hormones. Let's focus in on this model.
Okay.
Her deal is that she was born with testes. She was born XY, a male, but because of a certain condition, and she didn't specify which, she either doesn't metabolize those hormones or doesn't respond to those testosterone, doesn't respond to it, so her body never morphed into the male. We all start as female, and then under the influence of androgens, testosterone, we become male. So she never turned externally, phenotypically, into a male. She remained female.
So the testes were internal. They hadn't descended?
They hadn't descended, which is, again, that this descension is something that happens in response to testosterone. So she's producing testosterone, but she doesn't respond to it. Now, this article is all messed up, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
From USA Today
they talk about all these unnecessary surgeries she had, and then they focused in on the removal of the undescended testes. She had to have the undescended testes out because undescended testes become cancer. That had to be done. But what must have happened, she must have had some ambiguities in her genitalia that they somehow repaired to make it more female, I suspect. And that is what people are arguing these days are unnecessary. There's a spectrum of what is sort of usual for external genitalia, and we don't all have to look like what Hugh Hefner said we had to look like. You know what I'm saying? And so the article didn't get into that, unfortunately.
Okay, let me I have many questions now.
I couldn't wait to hear what B wanted. Kevin, aside again, Kevin, apologies.
No worries.
But I couldn't wait to hear what B wanted to know about this. By the way, we haven't even gotten into hermaphrodite and all that stuff yet.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that.
Is
intersex somehow similar to hermaphrodite, or are they, again, two different things?
Is one category within the intersex grouping. Which is, remember I said one of the disorders could be in the gonads, and you, of course, focused right in on that.
Sure.
And a hermaphrodite is someone that has both ovary and testes, though there's never been a case of someone that has actually both. They usually have something called an ovotesty. sort of a mishmash of both ovary and testy. And those can look typically sort of femaleish.
Okay. So is it essentially, just to put it in simple terms, their internal reproductive organs don't match their gender?
That's one. That was the case of the model. Okay?
But there's all different cases?
There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds. It's all very spectrum-y. And,
okay.
And that's really the point, is that the medical community is very guilty of this, of saying, well, they're not normal. We've got to make them all this or all that. And there's a lot of, in the day of sort of gender awareness, of allowing people to sort of be in a spectrum, and that's okay. And that's what this model is sort of arguing for.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what is the new world for a lot of people, is most of us who have grown up in the 20th century and now 21st century in the world think of people being either male or female. And you would say, based on your description at least, I think I hear you saying that she is neither male nor female exclusively.
She is phenotypically female and chromosomally male. In other words, she's genotypically male. And
it's not surprising to me that USA Today got it wrong, because you're having a really hard time explaining it just to us.
I know, but they never have somebody like advise them or do the interview who knows the landscape. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
As a result, they just botch the interview, and they're adding to problems. So now they have people who are intersex saying, I should never have any surgeries. No, you got to have those testings out. You got to have it out. That's a medical necessity.
All right, speaking of surgeries, Dr. Drew, let me ask you about this, because this was the sentence that jumped out at me from the article. A fear of non-binary bodies, not a pressing medical need, is often what drives surgical interventions on intersex children. When a newborn's genitals do not appear typical, parents can be compelled to have their child undergo cosmetic surgery to appear more ordinary. That's important, I think, because yep. That's kind of what Hani is talking about, which
that is what she was talking about, and the interviewer did not focus in on that. That is precisely it.
So if one of your patients came to you and said, hey, I just had a baby born and this appears to be the case, would you advise them to have no surgery beyond what is medically necessary, as you described with the testes and the cancer?
Generally so. What is for sure you don't do is push them in one direction. Generally, if you just line things up with the biology and not get very focused on what's normal, you know, just what's then you're going to end up great. And I think that's what the sort of rights organizations are advocating for, is for everyone to kind of accept this as just part of the human experience. I mean, it's somewhere, you know, it's funny. They've also thrown into this category hypospadias, which is...
I can't even keep up with
somebody at K-Rock.
That's how you travel great distances in space in Star Wars.
No,
right?
Where, the urethra, the thing that puts the urine out of the tip of the penis, mm-hmm. does not make it all the way to the tip. It comes out somewhere from the base to the tip. And that's, again, an incomplete forming of the external genitalia. And that's, of course, something you would repair and make male, right?
Right.
But it's weird that they would throw that into this whole category as something, oh, leave them alone, that's natural. And then they put that grouping in with the numbers of the overall intersex population, and that swells it to like 2%, when in reality it's about 0.5%.
Hey, Dr. Glenn, who here at K-Rock has it?
I can't remember.
Come on, you can't remember.
I cannot. I swear to God, I can't remember.
DM Kevin when you think.
But that's a very common thing.
I was so surprised when I saw the number.
I think it was Kevin Wesley.
1.7% of the population is born with intersex traits, a figure roughly equivalent to the number of redheads. That was a real surprise to me that this was
in. That's when you throw in hypospadias.
And that's not right.
Yeah.
Last question for you, Doc, and we could go on and on, because this is a fascinating topic to me, and that is the intersex has nothing to do with sexuality at all. It has nothing to do with how they identify. Like,
no.
This particular model is heterosexual and married to a man, but she could just as easily have been gay or bi or whatever.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay.
But she cannot reproduce, right? There's a lot of fertility stuff that goes on with these populations, and that's just part of their genetics.
You always applaud people who put medical issues on the front pages. This is a good thing, what she's doing here, by going public with this,
100%,
right?
100%, but I also condemn the press for getting it wrong. And here I am again. It's a wonderful opportunity that they're just screwing up, that they should really send somebody who knows what they're talking about in there to sort of break it down for people. You guys did a great job today. I feel like...
Yes, we did.
Like, yeah.
Who at K-Rock?
What name? Stop it.
What person at K-Rock?
Oh, God.
No, but I mean...
Was it Rodney?
What?
Huh?
What?
What?
It's a really complicated topic, and it gets very complex, very deep in the weeds. But you can make it digestible for people if you really understand it. So
great job as always. Podcasts, live appearances, radio shows, and more at drdrew.com, on Twitter at drdrew as well. Thanks for the time, dude. We'll do it again next time.
Guys.
The best NHL players, past and present, descend upon Southern California this weekend. It's All Star Weekend in LA. 2017 Coors Light NHL All Star Skills Competition is Saturday. The game itself, brought to you by Honda, is this Sunday at Staples Center. We're going to give away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Hockey Haiku.
Hockey Haiku! Hi!
All right, so Kevin, you gave us an example a few minutes ago.
It was a good one, too.
It was a good one. A lot of raves.
Solid.
And we're inviting our listeners to do the same. So five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. That's the formula for a successful haiku, correct?
Yes, and most of the time it doesn't rhyme.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's pretty free form,
right,
which makes it a little easier to write. But are we going to pick a favorite then among those on the phone?
I mean, if we can pick a favorite, mm-hmm. I'll put everybody on hold just in case. But if we can pick a favorite, all of us are usually on our fingers trying to figure out how many syllables. All right. Let's start with Brendan in Altaloma. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Hockey Haiku. Hi.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready. Okay. So, hockey, the best sport. All-star tickets I must have. Give it to me now.
Yep, that's a haiku.
Is it?
Yes.
All right. I like it. You hang on, Brendan. You are one step closer to being America's Next Top Model.
I don't think that's what the prize is.
I mean winning the prize for the hockey thing, right?
All right, let's go to Chris in Lake Forest. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, Elliot.
You ready for your haiku?
Indeed.
Here we go. Here's Chris.
First off, Bettman blows. I would like to boom live. John Scott. MVP.
Wow.
I didn't hate
hockey,
it.
A lot of hockey knowledge.
I didn't hate it.
Like
everyone should get to boo Bettman in person once in their life.
Agreed. Chris, well done. You pushed some of Allie's buttons with that one. Nice job.
Even a reference to last year's All-Star game, which is pretty strong.
Nice. Very strong.
All right, let's go to Carla in Huntington Beach. Hi, Carla.
Hi, all.
Hey, Carla, is this true you work for the Angels?
I do work for
So you're cheating on your primary sport right now with a little hockey love.
Well, I mean, it's a better sport.
How dare you, first of all.
I went to the Ducks game last night.
Well, good for you. Well, you saw a hell of a game then, didn't you?
Well, okay, we're not
going to
talk about that.
Yeah, okay. It's a rough time.
All right, we are excited to hear your hockey haiku. I wish you the best. Good luck.
Okay. It would be awesome for my kids to see hockey. Blood on ice is nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not bad.
There's no other sport that has blood on ice. I got to give you that.
Let me just tell you a quick story. When my kids were young and I was taking them to hockey games, there was a fight. One of the guys fell down and his head busted open. There was blood on the ice. So I tried to distract them.
Yeah, so
and
they
I was
wouldn't
like,
get free.
Hey, let's look over here. Maybe we could go get some food. And one of my kids said, Dad, blood!
And then she was in forever.
And that was it. You're just stuck. All right, let's go to Tim in Lomita. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Are you ready for your haiku?
I'm ready.
Good luck.
Hockey fan since birth. My birthday is on the 1st. Allie, be my date.
I mean, he wins.
Wow. Let's just say. What do you mean he wins? Wow.
I mean,
just because he invited you?
Yeah.
All right,
and it was a haiku.
Hold on, Tim.
I'm counting.
He's a hockey fan. He's got everything going for him. Well done.
Let's go to Shayna in Whittier. Hi, Shayna.
Hi, I'm so happy I got through.
And we're happy you got through, too. Four.
Hockey haiku. Hi.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Norris for Dowdy, a dentist for Jeff Carter, tickets for Shayna.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And she mentioned the two Los Angeles Kings that are playing in there.
Very strong.
Well done.
Very strong, Shayna.
All right.
All right. I think we got time for maybe one more.
All right. Let's go to Tamara in Sherman Oaks. Hi there.
Konnichiwa, everybody.
Right.
And to you as well.
Uh-huh. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm
ready. Good luck.
Okay. All right. Blood, sweat, injuries for one goal in Game 7. Hold Lord Stanley's cup.
That's a pretty good one, too.
I mean, that's the whole...
That's a pretty good one, too. That's everything.
You got it wrapped up, right?
That has
you
everything.
You do, man. That's the whole season in 5 seconds. Wow.
She really... All right. She
guys, I really want to take my nephews.
Oh, okay.
Thursday's on the 5th and
okay,
the 12th.
Take it easy. You don't get to just argue now.
It's only two tickets.
You'd
have to break one of their hearts.
I'm prepared to stand outside.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Well, it's like who has like 30 syllables.
She's not still going.
All right.
That's part of it. All right, Tamara, we have to put you on hold.
Now. Is that a filibuster?
What's happening?
I got to tell you.
To further explain her cause.
I love Tamara. I love Shayna working in the Two Kings. I loved Chris with the whole with Bettman booing and everything. I mean, I don't know that I can decide. I think I may be drawing guys.
I like Shayna because she mentioned the Two Kings.
What do you think, Allie? You got a preference here?
I liked Chris because you got to boo Bettman.
I liked him too.
But I love Tim because he wants to invite me. I think it's a drawing.
Let's do
it. I think it's going to have to do it. All right, everybody, thank you so much for your haikus. Unfortunately, only one will win the tickets for this weekend. And by the way, I should mention this. You are also, when you win, you qualify for the grand prize for the NHL All-Star Game behind-the-scenes experience and a pair of tickets to the NHL 100, the greatest hockey players of all time in one place, one time, Friday night at Microsoft Theater. Who's our winner, please, Allie?
The winner is Brendan.
Yay!
Brendan! Congratulations, Brendan.
All right. Thanks, man.
You got the tickets. Thanks for playing the game.
Hockey haiku. Hi.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
Congratulations to Katie Romero, by the way, from North Hollywood. Just won tickets for Kings of Leon. We got them for you again throughout the day on K-Rock. Coming up a little after 10 with Kat, and then all the way up till 9 p.m. tonight. Your chance to win tickets into that sold-out show this weekend. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
Hollywood's still mourning the passing of Mary Tyler Moore. TV legend who had not one, but two of the greatest sitcoms in TV history under her belt. She played Dick Van Dyke's wife, Laura Petrie, on The Dick Van Dyke Show, and then played Mary Richards on her own show, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Two Emmy Award-winning sitcoms, and she was a trailblazer. She created a character that was an independent, single, working woman in a time when there weren't a lot of those on television, if any. And then she also went on to be a very successful television producer in her own right, teaming up with her then-husband, Grant Tinker, to start MTM Productions. So, really impressive lady. Had battled poor health the past couple years. She had always battled juvenile diabetes, and she was the chairman of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, which raised a ton of money to search for a cure for that devastating disease. So, life well spent for Mary Tyler Moore. Ed Asner, who played her boss on Mary Tyler Moore Show, played Lou Grant, said, "My heart goes out to you and your family. Know that I love you and believe in your strength." And he said, "Catch! There's no catch." All right. Call back to an old Ed Asner joke that I love. Oh. Ed Asner used to be the spokesperson for some solar energy company.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They would put panels on your house, and they would have these commercials, usually on AM radio, that where they send out half of a conversation. Like they send out Ed Asner, and then whoever the local DJ is pretends to have a conversation with that person. You've probably heard these ads.
Sure.
So we're talking to legendary actor Ed Asner about solar power. Jeez, Ed, this is crazy. All this and for this low level, it seems like there's some sort of catch. It's my favorite line ever. You got so angry.
It's so angry.
So angry. You go, catch! There's no catch. It's like Ed Asner's going to kill that guy.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
So, I love anyway. that whole idea of the local DJ interacting with the celebrity on tape. Like
you
like
mean Beer Mug and the Hulkster?
Beer Mug and Hulk Hogan is one.
I'm here with my friend Hulk Hogan. We're here together.
That's right, brother.
Remember on all
and
the
or
stations?
Sister. Whoever you are, whoever I'm talking to.
Remember on all the stations you used to hear the one where you had to talk to Roseanne about a timeshare in Vegas or something?
Hawaiian Gardens or
yes,
something.
Man. Yes,
Hawaiian
so,
Village. Tahitian
so
Village.
Bad.
I forget the hell it was. I don't know, Ed. It seems like there's got to be some sort of catch. Catch! There's no catch!
He was mad throughout the whole commercial.
Mr. Grant is angry at me.
He's very grouchy.
I hate spunk.
So Ed Asner is still alive.
Bad kind.
And Dick Van Dyke, her co-star from the original sitcom, he's still alive in his 90s, right? Both of them mourning Mary Tyler Moore now.
Yes.
What a shame.
Nice to put the jinx on him, by the way.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Tell us who else is alive, Bean.
No, I'm just
and now
saying.
Bean recounts people who are still living.
Let me see. Gavin McLeod, also still alive.
It's just, it's
Betty White was on that program. She's alive.
It's just sad to lose Mary.
I believe
that's
Georgia
all.
Engel, who played Georgette, is also still alive.
She is also still alive.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
But we lost the great Ted Knight a number of years ago. I'm sorry to say. We no longer have him.
All right. There's got to be some kind of catch to that.
Catch.
Catch. There's no catch. Sorry I asked, Ed. I just want to know about solar energy.
I'm not coming at you.
Damn. Just we're having a conversation, Ed. We're trying to save the planet here. Speaking of saving the planet, we did talk earlier in the program today about the government scientists who are planning a march on Washington because outlets for them to discuss their scientific findings have been now, the kibosh has been put upon them.
Well, they're being censored.
By the federal government. They can't tweet about it. They can't talk to reporters about it. They can't contact the public about it, what they find in terms of climate change research. And we're talking like NASA and the
makes my head hurt. That's not possible.
U.S. Department of Agriculture and the EPA and all these scientific departments in the government have, for the time being, for the next 4 to 8 years, have been squashed. They've been saying you can't really contact people anymore. So scientists are taking it up they're up in arms about this, and they are taking it upon themselves to plan a scientists' march on Washington in March. That's the plan, apparently. And high-profile scientific spokespeople like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye apparently are on board. They will be marching as well.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
And as a funny aside, my radio friend Kevin said, should we just start keeping a list of all the groups that are going out there and start marching on Washington? Well, Kevin, apparently we have to.
Oh, we do now.
Because also just announced today is the Insane Clown Posse's march on Washington.
Oh, been waiting for this.
The Insane Clown Posse have announced they are going to protest the way authorities have treated juggalos with a peaceful march in Washington, D.C. This will take place on September the 16th. So all the juggalos are going to get together and march on Washington.
I'll tell you what a juggalo and a juggalette is, someone who's down with the clown until they're dead in the ground.
Right.
Down with the clown till you're dead in the ground.
It's going to be a hell of a march right there.
I smell a slogan. I think there's going to be chanting.
I can't wait for that march.
See, in 2011, for those of you who aren't aware, the FBI designated juggalos as a loosely organized hybrid gang, which means, of course, that they run half on gasoline, half on electricity.
I don't think that's what it means.
I'm pretty sure it does. And that term has impacted fans ever since. Over the past 5 years, our legal team has heard testimonies and reports from juggalos all over the nation who have lost custody of their children, been fired from jobs, denied access into the armed forces, and the most common consequence, being officially labeled as a gang member by law enforcement agencies for wearing juggalo-related clothing or brandishing one or more juggalo tattoos, wrote ICP on their website. So they're going to be marching in September.
My name is Maniac. By myself, I'm a happy mother. Living life day to day, doing my thing, being happy, doing that she loves to do, being crazy, being family, being happy.
I hope she's going to be at the march.
She's down with the clown till she's dead in the ground.
Maniac has to be at the forefront of them.
Holding the banner.
Maybe we all need to be there.
Right. I hope they give her a bullhorn.
Right? Maniac for life.
That's pretty strong.
Hey, guys, I heard you guys talking about your spiders, your little spiders, your spider issues.
Yeah. Catching deadly spiders for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your weenies who won't catch spiders.
Right.
I thought it was interesting. This just came across it this morning. The list of the National Mental Health Association...
Yes.
...has listed the most common phobias amongst Americans. Interestingly enough, phobias, I mean, this is severe fear. This isn't just... Oh, I'd rather not.
This
genuine,
is like crippling fear.
Right, genuine fear. Affects, they are estimating 12% of all Americans.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Top 10 phobias released this morning. I thought it was appropriate. And I'll just start off by saying it's appropriate because number one, American phobia, spiders.
That's ridiculous.
How about that?
It's spiders. Crazy.
So we're saying on the Kevin Beach Show, stomp them. Right?
Right?
No, we're not saying that at all.
I think that's the message, yes.
Stomp.
If you say a spider, it's going to do you harm.
Right? We're saying spiders are helpful to the environment.
Or
and
that.
99.999% of them are harmless. Pick them up and put them outside if they're in your house. They're not going to hurt you.
If it's a funnel web spider.
Well, maybe you stay away from those because they're venomous, but I'm just saying.
No need to fear a spider.
Anyone want to guess the other nine top 10 phobias?
Sharks. Well,
snakes?
Sharks.
Snakes?
People are afraid of sharks.
Sharks?
Do you know what a shark is? Why are you saying shark at me? Like, it's a new word.
I think it would odd anyone would guess that'd be in the top 10 of phobias.
So it's not?
I'm just saying.
I don't think most people come in contact with them, so they're probably not worried.
You're going to run up against
worried.
A shark unless it's summertime and you're in the water.
Because you have that phobia, you do not come in contact with a shark.
Then phobia solved.
Still scared.
How about agoraphobia? How about fear of heights? How about...
Actually, heights, acrophobia, is tied with emetophobia.
Emetophobia?
I don't even know what that is.
Meta people.
That's the fear of vomiting.
Oh.
Big tie there at between vomiting and heights.
Look, nobody likes to vomit. Who's afraid of vomiting?
I kind of dig it.
What?
I kind of dig it. You feel
better after you do it, right?
It's one of my favorite things, really.
I agree. What? When you're hungover, you pray for the vomit.
There is no bigger difference in your sense of well-being than the moment between pre-vomit and post-vomit.
I agree, Ralph.
How many instantaneous...
I mean, if you have food poisoning,
feelings of
yes.
well-being but can if you're you sick, have in your life? How often does that happen?
But if you're sick, you still feel like you need to vomit after you vomit, you know? I mean, that's
a while
not...
later, 20 minutes later or something. Okay, well, but I'm talking about the way you've never felt worse in your life...
Right.
...in a given moment, and then... 10 seconds later, you've never felt as good in your life as that. It's a miracle.
Okay, so you're putting you down for loving vomit.
I'm pro vomit. All right. I am pro vomit. I am team vomit.
Pro vomit.
I belong to a vomit club. We've got an Academy Award winner. Yeah. We all get together sometimes at his house, and we all team up, and we put a feather down our throats at the vomitorium.
Mm.
That's what they used to do in old Roman times, Allie. You're looking at me like it's crazy. The Romans
We've
would
got vomit.
That's what they would do in the vomitoriums.
The Romans would gorge themselves
right.
to the point of depravity.
Sure.
And then they'd go to the vomitorium and they would take feathers, usually a peacock or some sort of long feather, and they would stick it down their throats to induce vomiting.
Wow.
Good morning.
All right, everybody. Who's hungry?
All right. Come on. We're running out of time. What else we got?
How about darkness?
Darkness. Mm. Not on the list here. No.
A lot of people are afraid of public speaking.
Public speaking.
Public
speaking, Allie. People in social situations, number two.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you. Suck it, shark.
Number two. Yeah, your shark is out the window.
Okay.
Real quickly, because we are out of time. Flying was number three.
Oh.
Open spaces, agoraphobia. Bean mentioned that. That was number four. Confined spaces, claustrophobia.
Sure.
Famous one. Fear of cancer, number eight.
Wow.
Doesn't everybody have that? Pretty
yeah,
much?
I would yeah, think so. Think so. Every day you hope to go to bed not being diagnosed with cancer, sure.
Thunderstorms.
I don't think about that every day, but all right.
I do. It's my prayer before
Thunder
I
buddies
sleep.
For life. Thunderstorms.
Oh.
Number nine. And number 10, death. Once again, I would to say, don't you really, don't we all sort of shy away from that?
Bean thinks about it every night.
Yeah. It's so funny because he's going to die so soon.
Don't even.
He wants to be 100.
You.
He wants to be 100. And it's so funny how not 100 he's going to be. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ellen DeGeneres is 59 years old today. The great one. We've been talking about hockey all week long. Wayne Gretzky's 56 years old today. And Van Halen guitarist Eddie Van Halen, 62. Oh, yeah. Come on. Oh. Oh, yeah. This is my vomit music. That's funny, I don't feel tardy. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, let's do a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, on a Friday morning, we've got the movie beat for you, a brand-new internet roundup. We're going to talk to Dave Duchovny, we're going to talk to Andy Cohen, and we're going to talk to Mia Jovovich as well.
All of that on one show?
Plus the grand prize drawing for the NHL All-Star Weekend and the Kings of Leon at the Forum.
Wow, what a show.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.